Okay, this is Karen Brewster, and today is May 12th, 2019, and I'm here in Scottsdale, Arizona, with Kay Montoya, Kay Lamoureux
Montoya. That's correct, yes.
And this is for the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park Oral History Project. And Kay, thank you for letting me come visit you today.
Well, thank you, Karen. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about Skagway.
Yeah, and I just want to say that there is some noise in the background for an oxygen machine, and that's just what that hum is, so people know, and we need to keep that going.
Very good.
So, were you born in Skagway?
Yes, August 21st, 1939.
Okay.
And White Pass Hospital, Dr. Dahl.
Okay, and why was your family in
My
Skagway?
Mother was also born in Skagway.
And what was her name?
Her name was Christine Johnston Lamoureux.
Okay. And then you have grandparents? Then why did
yes.
So your grandparents?
My grandmother came to Skagway during the gold rush in the late 1800s as a small child with her brother, Britt, and her mother and father. Her name was Ethel Mae West, and her brother was Britt West.
And so was her father a Gold Rush stampeder?
Yes, yes.
And he brought his family.
His family followed him. He came to Alaska first, and then they followed him. They were in San Francisco. And then they came up with my grandmother, Ethel Mae. She came up with her mother and father and brought her mother also, her mother's mother, her grandmother.
Okay, so Ethel came as a child.
Yes.
And so who were Ethel's parents? Do you remember their names?
West.
Somebody West.
Yeah.
Oh, so
Jacob, West Jacob. You caught me off guard. I should have gotten that out.
That's okay. So he came as a stampeder. And then his wife and two children followed.
That's great. With her mother.
With the wife's mother.
Right.
Okay. Wow. And where did they come from before San Francisco?
They came across the plains in a covered wagon from Connecticut.
Was there ever a family story about why he decided to leave Connecticut to go to the Gold Rush?
No, I don't know that, if there is. I know they spent quite a bit of time in San Francisco. He built a home there. I don't know the address, but it's not there any longer. But So they were there for a good number of years, but then when the gold rush came, he decided to come to Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
He probably ended up in San Francisco for the gold rush at, earlier dates
the
1800s, I would guess.
That would have been the 1840s, I think.
Yeah.
Or 1860s, I can't remember. Do you know what he did in San Francisco?
He was a carpenter.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. If he was already in San Francisco, the going to Skagway and the Klondike was not as far.
Right.
And did he make his fortune in Skagway as he had hoped?
No, he didn't. He started, actually, it's my understanding. I thought I had some pamphlets. They had a transfer, which would have been a horse and carriage type thing, livery.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they started that, and that's how they made their money, was hauling things from the beach up to the different places in Skagway and Dyea.
So Mr. West, whatever his first name was, started that livery business. Okay. Well, and that would be a way to make a good living.
Yes.
And were there stories about his experiences? Did your grandmother talk about it? I just realized we weren't recording that part. Okay, we got to go back a second.
Okay.
I pushed the wrong button. So your grandfather, Louis Johnston, he came to be the agent for the Canadian Pacific.
He came to Skagway as the agent. He was hired in Canada and came to Skagway as a Canadian citizen and working for the Canadian Pacific, yes.
Okay. And that meant he did what? What was his job?
He took care of all the transactions between the ship and the shore. I imagine bills of lading and things like that the ship required.
Mm-hmm. And
any communications they had with the shore went through my grandfather.
Okay. And you said he continued in that job until he retired.
That's correct, yes.
And then he moved to Anchorage. Okay. And I'd ask you to tell me a little bit about him, your memories of him.
He was born in Canada and came to Skagway. He met my grandmother and they got married. He was father of 8 children, 4 boys and 4 girls. He was very much into family. Family was everything to him. He was very strict, but he was also a teacher. He liked to teach his children. He didn't just tell them to do something. He would teach them why they would do it, which I always admired in him.
And you said he liked sports?
Yes, he was one of the few golfers in Skagway. They didn't play golf in Skagway, I don't think, during those times.
Yeah.
But he did. I'm not sure how he did it. He also played tennis. I'm not sure how he played tennis either, but he did.
Was there a tennis court?
I'm sorry?
Were there tennis courts in Skagway?
I've never seen one, but I don't know what... I have no idea where they played, but I know he played tennis.
Where did he play golf?
No idea. Probably out in a field somewhere.
Well, I was thinking out in the Dyea Flats.
I don't know if he went that far.
And so then your grandmother, that he married Ethel May.
Right.
Can you tell me about her?
Personality-wise, she was a very sweet woman, but very strong-willed. She was a hard worker. She was very much a lady. She came from a very good family, and... her family used to send her things in Skagway for all of her children, and she was a very good seamstress. She would take clothing they would send and make it into clothing for the kids and make costumes. Whenever we wanted a costume or something, we always went to Graham because she knew just what to do. So she was very good at that, and she, like I say, she was very much into family as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, she raised 8 children.
Yes.
That would definitely keep her busy.
Definitely. My sister and I lived with her for several years when we were younger.
You said that your grandparents' house was right across the street from the Nord family.
That's correct, yes.
And so that made me think you spent a lot of time at your grandparents' house.
Definitely, yes.
Since you and Carl Nord were such good friends as children.
We were good friends, Ludi and Carl, and yeah.
Well, and Ludi is Louis Selmer. How did he get the name Ludi?
His name is Louis, I think, and we just called him Ludi. I don't know. Too many Louises around, maybe. I don't know.
So that was just your guy's nickname for him? Or did the whole town call him that?
I don't know. I've always called him that. I think the whole town must have called him that, though.
Yeah.
Because everybody recognizes who you're talking about, so.
Yeah. It's cute.
Yeah.
And so, okay, that's your grandparents. So tell me about your parents.
Okay. My dad came to Skagway as a young man. He was went to work as a janitor at the high school. He was single. I very much am an outdoorsman. Mm-hmm. And he met my mother, and they fell in love and got married.
Do you know where he came from?
Yes, he came from Vashon Island, Washington.
And do you know why he came to Skagway?
I'm not sure if it was either... His sister and brother-in-law ended up owning the dairy there. Robertson was their name. Mm. And I'm not sure if he came before them or after them.
Hmm. So you don't know exactly. Well, if they were there, he may have come
That's right.
to work with them.
Yes.
But otherwise, because it was, do you know what year approximately he came to Skagway?
Well, it would have been, I was born in 39, so it had to have been in the 30s sometime.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd been 30s.
Yeah, that why he, I mean, the gold rush was long over.
No, it could have been because his sister was there.
Right. And then, and your mother was born there and
yes.
grew up there.
That's correct.
And can you tell me about her?
She was a hard worker. My dad got sick when she was, well, maybe we should start sooner. She was very active in basketball and in her school. She took training as a beautician, but never followed through with it. She decided that wasn't her goal in life. So she and my dad started the transfer business. She worked in the transfer business. They had taxi cabs, and they had airline contacts with teletypes, and took the weather for the weather service, and just about everything, transferred freight, just about everything.
Yeah, and the name of that business was?
Alaska Transfer Company. They also delivered fuel oil.
And they eventually also didn't they have a little gas station?
Yes, in the gas station. One of my aunts remembers my mother and her being out at a formal occasion and somebody ran out of fuel oil. So they, in their formals, went out and got the oil truck and drove it over and filled up tanks and then went back to the party.
So your mom did all that. She
yes.
didn't just sit in the office.
No, not at all. She was very actively involved in it. Mother was always very active. So.
Do you know why they decided to start such a business?
You know, I'm not sure. I think my grandparents might have had something to do with it. I think they encouraged her to do that. They encouraged them to start the company because there wasn't one in Skagway at the time. So there was a need, and they figured it would be a good thing.
And your grandfather working for the steamship company may have noticed that there was a gap in
That's
services.
Very possible, yes.
Yeah.
My grandparents owned a little grocery store, too. I don't think they were, I don't know how long they were in business, but I this is when I was like real little, like 4 or 5 years old. I can remember, maybe 6 years old, I can remember going into my piggy bank with a friend of mine and taking the money I had in it, going down to their store and buying some candy. Well, the first thing that happened, of course, I was busted because it was my grandmother there.
Right.
So they say, where did you get the money? And I said, out of my piggy bank. And they said, well, you know, that piggy bank belongs to you and Karen.
Your sister.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I got busted.
So you didn't get to buy the candy?
I bought the candy, but I didn't buy any more.
Do you remember the name of their little store or where it was?
Johnston's, I think. It was on the corner of, what's the street next to Broadway?
State
Street, and probably would have been about 5th or 6th.
Okay. I'm assuming you mean the street towards the
west. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, and we forgot to mention that, yes, you have a sister named Karen.
That's correct, yes.
Named Karen. And it was just the two of you.
That's
right?
correct.
Okay, and what's the age?
She's a year, month, and a day older than I am.
Oh, that's pretty close.
Yeah. We're always very close.
Yeah, and unfortunately she's not around anymore.
No, she passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about... so the transfer company was located on Broadway in this building here, right? In that building?
That's correct.
That building?
That building.
The Verbowides, what's now called the Verbowides Cigar and Confectionery.
Okay, that looks exactly like it, yeah.
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 And then did you live upstairs?
Yes, I had my bedroom was upstairs. We had a, there was an apartment behind it that had two bedrooms. My sister had one of the bedrooms and my parents had the other bedroom. And then, of course, living room, kitchen, etc. And then there was another room upstairs, so I made that into my bedroom. So,
pretty tight quarters? It was pretty small?
Yeah, it was, I guess. I remember they had a tuberculosis sanatorium there, and somebody escaped from the sanatorium, and we had a window that faced the mountains. And I don't know why this fellow escaped. Like I say, I was really young. But he ran up into the mountains for some reason, and the people were looking for him. You could see flashlights all over the mountains looking for him at night. And our window faced the mountain. And I remember my sister and I were very scared that he would come and climb in that window. Maybe that's why I decided to move on the other side of the house. I don't know.
So tell me about this TB sanatorium. I didn't know there was one in Skagway.
Yes, there was one. There was one during the big tuberculosis epidemic in Alaska. It was after the war, because there were a lot of barrackses and things around, and they built it in the barrackses, mm-hmm. up past the dairy. Do you know where that is, up the road, past the dairy?
Near the bridge across the river.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And up by the... There may still be Quonset huts up there. I don't know.
I don't think so, but that the far north end of town?
That's right.
Okay.
There was a tuberculosis, and they brought people in from all over Alaska to the hospital there.
And so who staffed the hospital? Were there doctors and nurses there?
I don't know that much about it. I got tuberculosis when I was 8.
Oh.
And I kind of always figured that it was because my parents had taxi cabs, and they picked up people from the airport, you know, to take them to the sanatorium. And in those days, they weren't as particular. They didn't realize, you know, that things were so, you could catch things so easily. And I ended up with tuberculosis.
Oh. And then were you treated at that sanatorium?
No, I was just sent outside for 2 years.
To where?
From the time I was 8 till I was 10.
To Seattle or?
To Seattle. Laurel Beach Sanatorium.
That must have been hard to be away for 2 years at that age.
Well, it changed me, probably. I'm much different than I would have been had I lived in Skagway. At 8 years old, when you have to be self-sufficient, you learn a lot of things that maybe you shouldn't learn till you're 19.
Did your parents come visit you?
Once in a while, yeah. But it was difficult for them, too. They had a transfer company to run. My dad got sick as well. And he spent some time at that same sanatorium. I didn't see much of him, though, because he was in kind of a different area than I was.
And so he got TB as well?
Yes. I had a different kind of TB. I had what they call millinery TB. And it used to be called galloping consumption. If it didn't kill you within the first 2 or 3 months, you could be cured completely. So I was cured completely.
Good. And what about your dad?
My dad had the different kind of TB, and he had reoccurrence of it. He ended up having a lung removed, and it really kind of blew our family apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking for them to come to Seattle to visit you in that time period
was very
challenging and expensive for them.
Yes.
Because, as we said, no road to Skagway, no ferries yet. So how would they have traveled?
They were the agents for the Alaska Coastal Ellis Airlines, and so they could travel with Alaska Coastal.
Okay.
And I'm sure they must have had privileges too with the other airlines. I don't know what they consisted of, but they might have had privileges.
So.
Discounts, anyway.
When you went out to Seattle, do you remember how you went? Like, you went on Alaska Coastal?
Yes. Yes.
To Juneau or all the way?
To Juneau. And then I got on a bigger plane and went to Seattle. I was unconscious half of the time.
Oh, you were that sick.
Very sick.
Oh, okay.
I can remember waking up on the airplane once and saying I couldn't breathe.
Oh.
And so they gave me some oxygen. You know, I dropped the oxygen mask. Then I went back to sleep. So.
And did your mother take you?
Yes, she went
with
me.
She escorted you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that must have been hard to have her leave.
I imagine it was very difficult for her. I'll tell you what, though. Speaking of Skagway, since we're talking about Skagway, there's one thing about Skagway. It had a heart.
Mm-hmm.
It at Christmas time, when I was down there by myself, I received this great big huge box. And what everybody in Skagway had done, or many in Skagway had done, is buy me a present or make me a present and wrapped it up and sent in this big, huge box. So there must have been 30 presents for me to open.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
So nobody can tell me that Skagway didn't have a heart, because they did. And a very dear friend of mine that I still see today, she told me that in her church they used to pray for me. The Catholic Church used to say a prayer for me, which I thought was also very...
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you say it shows the small town...
I was one of theirs, and they were taking care of me.
Yeah. As we talked about before we were recording, that the small townness of Skagway... What did you say? It's a small town that's a big town?
It's a small, big town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know that book, It Takes a Village... Whenever I hear that title, I think of Skagway, because that's what Skagway was. If you were little, running down the street and you fell down and started crying, somebody would come out of a house somewhere, wipe off your little, put a Band-Aid on and send you on. You know, that's just the way everybody took care of everybody. So
yeah,
that's the way Skagway was.
Right. And, I don't know what the population would have been.
600.
Okay. And then when World War II came around, did things change?
Well, this was probably after the World War II, because I was 8 years old. World War II, I was born in 39, and World War II started, what, 40? 42?
Well, Pearl Harbor was, what, 42, 41?
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
So that was pretty much, it was the military.
So 39, so you were gone from
well, that was 8, so.
47?
47 to 49.
Right. Okay. So you remember... You know, that being taken care of and everybody being, you know, that was all
definitely
before that even.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I used to receive letters all the time from people in Skagway, just being nice to let me know that, I still had family somewhere, friends somewhere.
Yeah.
So it was a reassuring. I think that it helped you not lose your self-confidence, you know.
Well,
you knew that somewhere out there was people that cared about you.
Yeah, which is important.
Yeah.
But so, what do you remember about those World War II years? You were young, but you must have some memories.
I can remember seeing the soldiers marching on the street. And I also remember my mother taking us on a picnic over to Smuggler's Cove, and we, at the time, I don't know if it's still there or not, there was what they called a swinging bridge, and it went from the shore over to the mountain, over the river, and it swung as you walked, because it was just kind of like a rope bridge. And we went to the bridge, and the Army wasn't going to let us cross it. And my mother said, listen, I've been in this country all my life, and I'm going to take my children over where we used to picnic. And you're not going to stop me. And I can remember walking across that bridge, kind of wondering what was going to happen. But we made it. We had our picnic and came back. But it was a pretty scary moment.
Yeah, the soldiers didn't come after you.
No, they didn't. They didn't come after us with guns. But we probably disrupted their entire day.
Well, and in some of those memories that are from Carl Nord's books, there were some other kids writing about the trail to Dewey Lake being blocked,
yeah,
and that the soldiers were not letting people leave the heart of Skagway.
That's right.
Which I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't think I realized as much as, because I was so young.
Right.
So my world pretty much revolved right around my home.
Right.
And I could see things on the street, maybe. I remember the fire department. They had a fire or something, and I remember an Army fire truck going by, and the fellow lost his hat. And I ran out in the street and picked it up, and my mother let me take it back to him, you know.
Yeah.
So, but that's about all, you know.
Do you remember if there was much interaction between the Army guys and the local residents?
Well, my aunt married one of them, so that was...
Yeah. Do you know the story of how they met?
No, I don't. I know he was from Texas, and they met and went back to Texas after. She was the only one of the 8 children that left Alaska, and she went back to Texas with him.
Because she married a Texas guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't remember, like, would the Army guys come to your house, or, I mean...
No, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, we were always, my parents and grandparents always protected us from things. We never knew of any controversy at all. We've only found out in later years that there was any controversy, you know.
Yeah.
And they protected us. We weren't aware of it, so.
Yeah. Well, and as I say, there's a difference. Like, children, you wouldn't know if the Army guys were in the local bars drinking,
yeah,
and causing trouble. You wouldn't know that.
But I expect they probably were.
Yeah.
I expect that it did disrupt the... I think there was a lot of hard feelings that may have come from it. They had buildings all over town that were abandoned after they left.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of eyesores.
Do you remember where some of those were? Or?
Yes, there were. Some of them were down by the south end of the airport. And then the sanatorium that they built there was all Quonset huts from the... No, they weren't Quonset huts. They were square buildings. And there must have been about... I'd say there was 8 or 10 of them. That's probably where they were housed.
Mm-hmm. And then you remember there being a lot of Quonset huts?
Yeah, there were Quonset huts here and there.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember... what happened to those buildings? Like, did the Quonset huts get torn down, or did people in town use them?
There are a few that were left, I think, and people in town used them. There were some. There were a lot of vacant buildings, though, that nobody used. To this day, I don't know what happened to them. You know, I don't know if they were ever just torn down or what. But they were big buildings too. They weren't just, you know, they're good size,
mm-hmm,
long, typical military buildings.
They may have been barracks in some cases.
Well, some of them were barracks up north of Skagway. I would say, yes, they were barracks.
Mm-hmm.
But now the ones down on the south part of the airport, I think they were supplies.
Mm. So when you were a kid, did your parents say, don't go over to that part to stay away because it was the military or anything
no,
like that?
No, our world revolved around my grandmother's and the Nords and the Selmers, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't. We thought our world was big.
So where was your grandparents' house? What street?
It was up on. It was right next to the airport.
To Alaska Street.
It probably.
That's the one that goes right along the airport.
Okay.
And then do you remember what the numbered cross street was?
It was right the same cross street as Carl's.
Okay. But so I was just saying, if you guys were at the transfer company store down on Broadway, and you had to walk to your grandparents.
Well, no, this was later.
Oh.
We lived across from my aunt up by the school for a while.
Oh.
Actually, we should go back further than that. When my dad and mom, when we were little kids, they had a house on the beach.
Hmm.
And my sister and I were about very young, maybe 2 or 3 years old. And I think they decided it was too dangerous, so they moved the house the only way I can identify is it about a block from the school.
Okay.
And that's where we lived until probably we were 6 or 7.
Okay.
And that's when they started the transfer.
Okay. And then that's when you... So then once they started the transfer, you moved into that building.
Yes.
Now, did they own that?
Not immediately when they started it. We stayed with my grandparents. And then they finally made it livable, and then we went and moved down there.
So do you know if they owned that building where the transfer company
was? I think they did, yes, because I think when they sold it to Bill Firo, who just took over the transfer company and the airlines. And
do you know what year that would have been about?
I don't know. I'm getting into some things here. I'm guessing, and I don't think I should guess on this.
Okay. So I didn't know if they sold the business because they moved from Skagway, and then you would know what year that was.
No. My parents got a divorce.
Okay.
And my mother went to work for the post office.
Okay.
And my dad went to work for Picotta, John Picotta, the electric company.
So he stayed in Skagway?
Yes. He built another house then down on First Avenue, a log cabin on First Avenue across from the store down there.
Okay.
That was out of Army barracks, just come to think of it.
Oh.
Army, yeah. That's what he built it out of. It was like a U-shape.
Huh.
And he built a boat in there. He used to build boats.
Wow.
As a hobby.
Wow.
And then he built this cabin in the middle of that U-shape, and that's where he lived.
Cool. So tell me more about living with your grandparents. That must have been fun.
It was an experience. I think, like I say, my grandfather was a teacher. I mean, he wasn't a teacher, but he liked children to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, he was insistent that my sister and I learn. And he wasn't the gentlest person in the world. You know, if he taught you to sweep a floor, you learn to sweep the floor. You know, there was no... He didn't cut anybody any slack. But my grandmother, of course, was all loving. You know, she was such a sweet lady. She was always watching out for us. And my grandfather was a good man, too. He was, there's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah. Just a different generation.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and so you were, because those pictures of you with Carl Nord and Ludi Selmer, you and your sister were like 5, 6 years old, maybe?
We were probably, 6, maybe 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say 5 or 6. Or 4, 5, or 6, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's pictures of you guys, you know, on bicycles and things. So what kind of things did you guys do for fun as kids?
We used to do just about anything we could think of. We'd dig forts. We would typical kids climb trees. My sister and I were kind of tomboys, so it worked out fine.
Yeah.
Just anything you can think of, we'd do.
You were, I'd say, riding bicycles.
Yeah, riding bicycles. And
did you go out to the river?
No, we never went near the river.
Were you told not to?
I don't remember being told not to, but I know we never did. So we must have been told something some way along the line.
And what about up to, like, Dewey Lakes?
Well, after we got older, we used to go up there all the time. As a matter of fact, as teenagers, we used to walk up there every day, Lower Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were little, we would go up there. I remember several times going up there accompanied by our parents, mm-hmm. but not by ourselves.
And so when you went as a family, what would you do up there? Was there fishing? Or?
Yeah, I think fishing and take dinner up there and light a campfire and roast marshmallows or hot dogs or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They had little cabins there, you know.
Oh,
that
really?
You could, yeah. I remember one time we went up there and spent the night with my mom and dad.
Yeah, I didn't know they had cabins up there.
At one time they did. They're just little shacks, you know. Probably left over from the gold rush, I'd guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
They must have been.
Yeah. What about in the winter? What kind of things did you guys do for fun?
In the winter? Oh, winters were fun. We used to ice skate, of course. And my parents used to take a sled and put it behind a car. A wiki board, they call it, you know. We go in the sled behind the car. We didn't ski. No skiing. Of course, there's indoor things, too. We always learned to do puzzles and play cards and a lot of indoor things.
Mm-hmm. And were there sports at the school? Because you had mentioned your mom played basketball.
Yes, we did, too. My mom played basketball, and my sister and I played basketball.
And that was by high school, though.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. That was high school, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Elementary school, our main things were like the carnival. The Halloween carnival was always a big deal.
Yeah, tell
Christmas
me.
Christmas pageants.
Tell me about Halloween.
The carnival was, the gyms, they used to have separate booths in the gyms, and different people would set up these different booths. It would cost you tickets, or you buy tickets. That was how they supported some of the projects for the school. And you'd buy tickets to participate in these different, throwing a ball or doing something like that. Mm-hmm. Typical carnival stuff. Yeah.
And did you do a play or something for Halloween? Or that was just for Christmas?
Usually it's just Christmas. Yeah, we did a lot of that kind of stuff. We had a teacher, well, this is now we're getting to high school. We had a teacher called Mr. Swick. And he was very good at doing things like he was in a history type teaching position, but he did things like musicals and stuff like that, which were really kind of fun.
Yeah,
things that we had never done before. And so that was in high school.
Uh huh.
That was fun.
And it does seem like Halloween was a big event for the community.
It was. It was, and just everybody go trick-or-treating. Of course, you could go trick-or-treating up there and never worried about a thing, you know. There was no crime. The older kids always kind of took care of the younger kids because the younger kids was usually a cousin or a brother of theirs, you know, sister. So they were always pretty good to the younger kids. Nobody picked on them.
That's good. So... But there was some pranking that happened?
But I don't think it was ever real serious pranking. The senior boys always used to take the bicycle rack at the school and put it on top of the school. That was every year, it was just a tradition.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even try to stop them. They'd just go ahead and take it down the next day.
And then in one of those memories, it's something about the light bulb, the street light bulbs?
Well, yeah, we used to do that, turn the lights off, people.
So you'd climb up the light poles?
Not me. I didn't ever do that. Some of the boys may have. I didn't go that far, but I did go along with some kids one time that we turned them off with the breakers.
Where was that?
In Skagway, the
breakers. No, I mean, where did you find the breakers? Were they in a building?
They're in a box on the outside of a house.
Oh, yeah. you turn up the house's lights?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant all the lights in
town. Oh, no. Just a house light.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's why now they put locks on breaker boxes.
That's probably right. I think the worst thing they ever did, though, was walk along the top of a fence. You know, we didn't do... There wasn't the vandalism like you see today. Somebody's window might get soaped, but, you know, a little hot water, you get rid of that. It's not
right.
A big deal.
And it sounds like it was sort of a tradition in Skagway, so people were expecting some pranks on Halloween?
Yeah, I think they kind of did. They could have probably stopped the boys from putting the bike rack on the top of the school, but it was just something that they did, and they just let them go ahead and do it. It was no harm. You know,
I can't imagine how they got it up on top of
it. I don't know either. Probably hoisted it with something. I was never witness to it. I just knew it always happened.
You were a good girl. You didn't do those
I guess
things.
So.
And you had mentioned your grandmother being a good seamstress.
Very good,
Do you
yes.
remember what kind of costumes?
Well, she made her own costume for that. She was in the days of 98, you know, the little skit that they had.
Uh-huh.
And she made her own costume, which was, you'd have to see it, looked exactly like a mining woman would, you know, with the tan-colored stuff. And mm-hmm. you know, she just made good costumes. She had a good imagination. I think she always wanted to be an actress because she had a really good advantage. She used to read the Dan McGrew at the...
The poem of the... The Killing of Dan McGrew.
Right.
Yeah.
Bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. I still remember it from listening to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. You didn't have to memorize it in school?
No.
Well, I was wondering if you remember any of your Halloween costumes or some favorites that you had growing up.
No, I don't remember. She always whipped something together, you know. It was.
Did she ever earn any money doing that for other people?
No. It was just a... Like I say, she had relatives that used to send her mm-hmm. used clothing that they had, you know.
Right.
And for the kids.
Yeah, well, with...
Then she'd rework it, you know.
With eight children, she probably didn't have time to be doing much work out of the home.
No, she didn't. She had a big, huge garden every year. She had chickens in her backyard that she took care of. You know, she was pretty self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
They had this big root cellar underneath their house that she would put all her canned goods and stuff down there. Cool. It was cool mm-hmm. down there.
Do you remember what kinds of things she grew?
Oh, yeah. Carrots. She grew the most beautiful carrots in the world. Peas, potatoes. That's all I can remember. I think that was all that ever interested me. So that's all I can remember. We used to sneak in the pea patch. On the airport side of the pea patch, we'd go over there and lay on the ground and eat peas. She could never figure out why the peas never grew on the airport side of her patch.
Did you leave the pods attached, or did you take the pods off?
We took the pods off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we used to go to her yard, get her carrots. She had huge carrots. They would be about, probably 8 inches tall and about 4 or 5 inches around. And we'd get a carrot, and we'd carry that carrot all day long with us. We'd get hungry, we'd take it out of our pocket and chew it.
And put it back and
put it back in our pocket, yeah.
Well, it's a good snacking.
Yeah, it was. Healthy.
Healthy, that's for sure, yeah. Did you ever help her in the garden?
I don't think. We probably just...
You didn't go help her dig potatoes?
No, we were just takers.
Because I think it's fun to go dig potatoes. It's like an Easter egg hunt or something.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if that would be something
I do
kids
remember,
doing.
I
that.
Do remember digging potatoes a couple of times. I don't think I was on the main page, but I was just kind of following around helping the adults.
Yeah.
The chickens. She used to let us feed the chickens once in a while.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to clean up after them?
No.
But your family, your parents, your mom, did they have a garden?
No.
No.
Mom never had time.
Yeah.
She's...
Well, it's interesting that they, you know, part of their transport business was they had that gas pump.
Yeah.
How many cars were there in Skagway that needed gasoline?
There must have been quite a few. I mean, not a lot, but I imagine there were quite a few. I can remember my sister and I used to go out and pump gas.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't self-serve back then.
No. No, no. No, you had to go do it.
Yeah.
And we used to go pump gas every once in a while. But the pump wasn't busy all the time, but I remember it being busy, like, in an hour you might have one or two customers, so.
Yeah. Because I was thinking, yeah, that, you know, the highway to Whitehorse wasn't built, and where were people driving?
Yeah, just around town.
Was the road to Dyea?
Yes.
Drivable?
Yes.
So would you guys go out there?
We had a cabin out there, a beautiful log cabin that my dad and mom built. It was built out of natural logs that were skinned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And remember them building the logs? Remember having to help them skin the logs and then put the stuffing in between them?
Oh, right.
Yeah, and they built a great big huge fireplace that took up one end of the building, a granite fireplace. Beautiful. Matter of fact, I heard it burned down, and the only thing left was the fireplace.
Hmm. So were those rocks they collected locally?
I guess from the riverbed, because
mm-hmm.
I remember them being round granite mm-hmm. rocks.
Wow. So did you guys spend a lot of time out there?
We used to, as we grew up in our teens, we used to have to spend every summer over there. My mother was taking us out of the big city, you know. And that's when they had Mac Moe had his horses over there. And I used to go and catch one of his horses, Rusty, and lead it way up country. And then I'd jump on Rusty's back, bareback, and he'd run as fast as he could back down toward the beach. But if I'd start to fall off, Rusty would stop and let me get back on, and then he'd take off again. And I used to do that all day long.
Wow.
And then I can remember walking through the woods, and the trees, you know, would be right up next to the woods. They're cut right through the wooded areas.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught to whistle or make lots of noise because
oh, yeah.
there are bears around there, too.
Yeah.
But I was much more adventuresome than my sister was, so most of these things I did by myself in my teens.
Yeah.
I remember one time we wanted to go to a dance in Skagway. My sister and I did. We must have been 14 or 15 or 15, something like that. And Mom said, sure, but you're going to have to get yourself over there. So we had one bike. Have you seen the Dyee Road?
Mm-hmm.
It's up and down and around the course.
Right.
So she and I rode that bike, both of us on that bike, all the way from Dyee to Skagway to go to the dance.
Oh, my goodness.
She'd ride me for a while, then I'd ride her for a while. By the time we got to Skagway, we skipped the dance and just went to bed.
Yeah. You're exhausted.
I think that was probably her ultimate goal.
Your mom figured this is the only time they'll try this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take a pause because the phone rang and your husband's on the phone and we don't need to record that.
No.
And go back now. Okay, so we were talking about being out in Dyee and riding your bike
right.
back.
Right.
Well, it's a long way. The road now is obviously much better, but it was probably a pretty rough dirt road.
It was. It was gravel, you know.
Yeah.
Rocks. It was tough. Like I say, we got to Skagway. We were worn out. We just were probably lucky to have gotten there.
Yeah. And were you all dressed up in dresses?
No. We still had our home in Skagway, you know, so we would go to that and change our clothes and everything. But we got there and decided we had enough. Had enough fun for the day.
Yeah. Now, did your mom have a garden out in Dyee? It was your grandmother who had the garden.
No, she had it in her yard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said your mom didn't have time for gardening.
No. But they did raise a couple of calves one time.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I took care of them as a 4-H project.
Hmm.
And they were in, we kept them in Dyee,
mm-hmm.
in a corral in Dyee. And I'd have to go out every day and feed them a mixture of milk and stuff. So mix it up and take it out and feed them.
Yeah, I was wondering what you fed them.
Yeah, I had some kind of grain and some kind of milk.
Hmm. And then you raised them to a certain age and then...
Well, all of a sudden they disappeared. And nobody ever told me what happened to them. But I expect they went into my grandmother's freezer.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And do you know where the calves came from? Like, how'd they get to Skagway?
They had them shipped in from Juneau.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
You see, I don't know Dyee, and I don't know the cabins out there. But can you describe where yours was?
Yes, it was over on the West Mountain, down on the beach. It's full of trees now.
Yeah.
But it used to be right on the edge of the trees. It was right on the edge of the mountain. on the west side.
Okay.
And it was a beautiful cabin. It was small, but it was beautiful. And I guess I was told that Blanchard bought it. Somebody, one of the Blanchards bought it.
Okay.
But then it burned down.
Right.
The only thing that we, matter of fact, we were in Skagway one time and tried to find it. And it was so different now, I couldn't, there's no landmarks anymore.
Right.
Because there used to be, right, where there was an old barn there, and that's where they kept the horses. Wasn't too far from our cabin.
Okay. And that's where you said Mac Moe,
yeah. They had three horses, and then there was another horse there, too.
Okay.
Well, I was talking about the horses, though. Rusty and I got along well, but
yes.
I started, of course, spoiling them like you do with animals.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take over, I'd walk over to where their barn was with sugar to give to them. Well, they got so they'd see me coming, and they'd come stampeding over toward me, and they just scared me half to death. So I climbed a tree, and I didn't come down until the horses left. My sister, we had a windmill type thing with a platform on the top.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister would get up on the top of that platform, and she'd say, "How are you?" And I'd yell back, "I'm doing okay." But we had to wait till the horses left because they were looking for that sugar.
And
they scared me.
The horses were not in a corral. They were free roaming.
Yeah. Yeah. They were wherever they wanted to be.
Now, that windmill thing, what was that?
It was for power.
Okay. And your dad built that?
Yes. My dad was very clever in building things. He built several fishing boats.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And so that windmill, it gave you electricity? Or?
Yes, some power. I'm not sure where it... I know they built it, and I know they put it up, but I don't ever remember getting electricity from it.
Okay.
But they might have gotten some electricity for certain things. I don't know.
What about water? Did you have water at the cabin?
Yes, but that was a pump. You know, you put water in, you prime it, and you pump it.
Oh, okay. Excuse me. So
we had water, but it was a pump.
So coming out from a well in the ground?
In the ground. It was, right. Mm-hmm.
Were there other people living out in cabins out in Dyea when you were out there?
There were. There was an old hermit that lived south of us. I can't remember his name right now. He lived down there by himself, and Jim Alexander used to go down and help him a lot. As a matter of fact, when we were little kids, when they were building their cabin in Dyea, Jim Alexander was about 14, and he was down with the old hermit. And the old hermit sent him up, and he used to sit outside our little tent we had and build smudge fires to keep the mosquitoes away. So that's how I remember Jim. Jim used to sit there and build some smudge fires for us.
And that's how your sister met him, because they eventually were married, right?
Right. Well, he's about 10 years older than we were. So we've known each other all our lives. You
right.
know, both of us have. So
can you tell me about him and who he was and what he did in Skagway?
He was called, they used to call him Jimmy the Bake. I don't think I should, because I don't know enough of that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a kind of a loner, and he used to spend a lot of time in Dyea. Al Nelson, that was the name of the cabin.
The hermit?
South of the beach.
Okay.
Al Nelson. He used to go over to Al Nelson's cabin all the time. He used to go hunting all the time, and he went into the Navy as a young man. It was a funny thing, when I was in the hospital in Seattle, he came to see me as a sailor.
Oh, neat.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he from Skagway originally, or he was born there?
As far as I know, he was born there. He's always there as long as I knew.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. But,
yeah. Because there's that picture you have of him standing by the truck in
yeah.
Skagway, so I kind of wondered what he did as
he
work-wise. And
he was a longshoreman.
Okay.
And he was a very responsible person. He saved several people's lives. He went into the Navy and became a working like a frog man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved several lives in the water in Skagway. Very much of an outdoor person. He used to go hunting and fishing and, you know, all that.
And did he continue to, did he have a cabin in Dyea that where he lived?
No.
Or he just came out to visit?
Oh, no. He used to go down to Al Nelson's all the time.
Okay.
Al Nelson was the hermit down
right,
there.
Right,
and he used to go down and help Al all the time.
Right. But he didn't have his own cabin.
No, he was just a young guy. He was a teenager.
But later, after Jim and your sister were married, did they live out at Dyea?
No.
Okay.
No, they lived in Anchorage. In Skagway, I'm sorry.
Okay. Eventually in Anchorage.
Yeah, eventually in
where
Anchorage.
Where he lives now, but yeah. Okay. And so when they were married, what kind of job did he have as
a... He was a longshoreman.
Oh, that's right. You said longshoreman. Okay. Okay. And so if you went out to Dyea so much, did you guys drive out there?
We drove.
Okay. You didn't always ride your bicycle.
No. Only once.
So eventually you and your sister learned to drive?
Yes. We had an old car that my mother and dad had out there. And it was in Dyea. And I learned to drive that on the roads in Dyea, the dirt roads in Dyea. You know, so.
Who taught you?
I think I kind of taught myself. I don't remember anyone ever teaching me.
Yeah, your dad and mom?
From observation. I'd watch and ask questions. They might have taught my sister. She was a little older than that. If anyone taught me anything, it would be my sister.
So, 'cause she was the one who was a little older.
She was a year older than I was, yeah.
But you were the more adventurous one, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So you talked about walking in the woods and, you know, bears and things. Were there a lot of wild animals around?
I can remember people coming to our cabin that had shot a bear or something, and they had the bear with them.
Wow.
Long claws, you know, they were big bears. Yeah, there were a lot of animals around. This was down the south end of Dyea now, where our cabin was, and then further up north, the Pattersons had a cabin up there,
mm-hmm.
and there were several others, too.
Yeah. I know about the Patterson one. Hosford Sawmill was not in existence anymore, was it?
They just started it, I think.
Oh.
It did.
Do you remember it?
I remember Hosford.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good friend of the Pattersons. I do remember him. And he had a lot of children. But we never were really in the same world.
Mm-hmm. And why was that?
No particular reason, I don't think. It just didn't happen. He was more into the logging type of, and my dad was, you know, not that wasn't his forte. So
right.
So they just didn't. Patterson was kind of into anything. Pat liked to do a lot of things, and so I'm sure he worked with Hosford.
Now, do you remember Patterson and Hosford enough to describe what they were like? And
the Pattersons?
Yeah.
They're great people, very close family. There's Collins, who became friends of ours. I don't remember did Carl mention Collins?
No.
Okay, because he lived right across the street from Collins and Bondi.
Well, I don't remember. He may have, I don't remember.
They might have, they came before he left, but those Collins and Bondi were their two kids, and because they had a place in Dyea, and we had a place in Dyea, of course, and they are kitty corner from my grandmother's house,
we
became friends, and we used to run around Dyea together when we were little, you know. Collins and I did, we were the adventurous ones.
Mm-hmm.
Bondi and my sister would read books.
Do you remember Mr. and Mrs. Patterson?
Yes, I do.
What were they like?
They're very nice people. He was a very happy type person. He was kind of a very intense, but a very good person, in my opinion. And Vivian was his wife. His name was Pat. Mm-hmm. His wife was Vivian. She was part Native, and she had a lot of home remedies and stuff, you know, that she would use. Hmm. She was part American Indian. Beautiful person.
From Tlingit, from that area? Or
no, from San Francisco area. And she was tall. I remember, I always remember her because she was tall. I was used to little short people with my mother and grandmother, but Vivian was tall.
And I can't remember, what did Mr. Patterson do? Was he into logging also?
He was a longshoreman.
Okay. And so Hosford Sawmill was operating while you were a kid there?
I don't remember if it was or not. I thought he was... No, it wasn't in Haines.
I can tell you. I happen to have a paper here about
it. Oh, cool.
It began in 46.
46?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's when they built their cabin. And then winter 48, 49, a road was cleared to the Hosford cabin. But it says that logging operations took place from 48 to 56.
Okay, that might have been when I was in the hospital when they started.
Yeah.
48. But it would have still been going on when I got back.
Right.
So.
Do you remember it?
I was never really too interested in logging, so I didn't pay too much attention.
Well, I didn't know if you were out up into those woods and everything.
They're way north of us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were much further south.
So in all your adventuring and in the woods, did you ever venture onto the old Chilkoot Trail? Was there even a trail?
No. I know where it is now because I've been back since then, but the cemetery, we ran into the cemetery once, the old cemetery that has all the people that died during the avalanche.
Uh-huh.
But my mother went through it one time. But that's all. I don't remember the trail itself.
You didn't remember that people didn't talk about going up it or anything?
No, they do now.
I know, they do now. Yeah. That's why I was wondering is, you know, it was even recognizable in the 40s and 50s as a trail.
I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
And there was a cemetery at Dyea.
There is. It's still there, isn't it?
I think they've moved it.
Oh.
But you remember
I went to the cemetery at Dyea.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
No, there's nothing. Nobody I knew would have any connection with. There were just a lot of people died on the same date, I think, is what my...
Right.
What caught my attention.
Mm-hmm. So that car you learned to drive in, that was your parents?
The
car you learned to drive in.
Oh, it belonged to my parents.
Was it part of their transport business, or did they have their own car?
It wasn't one of the taxis. It was an old car.
Was it a World War II car? Was it an old army car?
No. Just an old station wagon.
Oh. Yeah.
I can picture it in my mind. It was one of those that have the wood panels on the side, you know?
Oh, right.
It had no back in it. It had a tailgate that came down or something that you could sit on the back. Because every once in a while when my parents were driving, they'd go over a bump too. My sister and I'd sit back there. They'd go over a bump and we'd go, end up on the road.
Gotta hold on.
Yeah.
Well, again, about this, the feeling of what Skagway was like in that time period, the big small town, a little bit about communication with the outside world.
I can remember my grandfather huddled around a little shortwave radio trying to find out what was going on during the war. Or when it was building up to the war, I guess. Mm-hmm. But that's the only communications that... We didn't have a newspaper, even a local newspaper at the time that I knew of.
Mm-hmm.
And the telephone, of course, very expensive to call out of Skagway, so we never did.
Mm-hmm.
And
could you call people around Skagway?
Yes.
Hmm. What about radio? Did you Could you, for entertainment, did you get radio programs to listen to?
The only ones I ever saw was my grandfather's shortwave. I don't know, maybe other people had them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We used to have a record player, you know, with CDs, not CDs, with
records.
Yeah, with the old type records.
Yeah.
I know for Christmas I got one with the little 45s, you know, that played the little 45s.
That was brand new technology.
Yeah, right. My mother used to let us have, we had a hardwood floor. My mother used to let us have parties. There were certain restrictions, you know, and the kids all, the girls all, we all had to go over and do the floor first. We had to wax it and then kind of buff it out a little bit. And then it was a sock party, so the kids could come and dance on it and really shine it out.
a true sock hop.
True sock hop, that's right.
That's right. But yeah, you didn't have radio to listen to entertainment programs, huh? Like, in, you had no TV.
No. Nope. We entertained ourselves or each other. We had records. That was some music, you know.
Mm-hmm. And books. You said your
books,
sister read.
Oh, yeah. Books. And we played a lot of cards.
Mm-hmm.
I got really good at cribbage when I was in high school. And you know, that's puzzles. We put a lot of jigsaw puzzles together. Charades. My grandparents used to play charades with the whole family.
No.
That was their thing. They liked to do that. So, like I say, it was just, you entertained yourself.
Did you ever get bored?
I don't remember ever being bored because you always figured out something to do.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have, it wasn't like today you expect to be entertained. You didn't expect to be entertained then, so you kind of expected to have to entertain yourself, so that was what you did.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your imagination went off, as you would think of ways that you could entertain yourself.
Yeah.
I went to Upper Lake once. That's straight uphill, you know.
Yeah.
I came back soaked in the bathtub for 2 hours afterwards. I never did it again.
Really?
But I can say I did it once. We used to go like Lower Lake at least once a day.
Right. What about berry picking? Did your family ever go out? You said you went picnicking, so I didn't know if you went berry picking.
No, I don't remember ever going berry. We used to go hooligan fishing.
Oh.
You know what hooligan are?
Yes.
Okay, we used to go over the river, and my dad and mom would dip net, you know, and my sister and I would catch the little hooligan in the little streams with our hands.
Wow.
We would contribute to this when we were little.
And that was in the Skagway River?
Yes.
Do you remember what season, what time of year?
It was in the spring. I thought it was in the spring.
Mm-hmm. So did lots of people in town do that?
Yes.
That was a popular thing.
Yeah, and then actually hooligan are pretty good if you cook them right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people turn up their noses at them, but I think they're also called candlefish, aren't they?
I don't know if those are the same or not, maybe.
It's just so oily.
They're very oily. Yeah, they're kind of like big sardines, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds pretty good to me.
Very oily, yeah, they are.
Yeah?
I didn't like it when they left the heads on, but if they take the heads off, I'm okay.
So how would they cook them?
Dip them in flour and fry them.
Mm-hmm.
They're really quite tasty.
Yeah. Bony?
They're bony. You have to strip the bones off them.
Yeah. And then would you catch a lot and freeze them, or would you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Put them in milk cartons. Put water in milk cartons and put them in the milk cartons, you know, and freeze them.
Huh.
This is with the square cartons.
Yeah. Yeah, before plastic milk jugs.
Exactly.
I know what square milk cartons are. that makes me think about groceries and food coming in that you'd buy at the store.
Very expensive.
Uh-huh.
But that's what you had to do. You didn't have much choice.
And did shipments only come in certain days of the week?
I don't remember if they did or not. I remember that produce was hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
And water, if you had watermelon, it was really a big treat, you know. So usually we would get a watermelon at 4th of July.
Right.
4th of July was another big celebration.
Right. What had happened on 4th of July?
Oh, they had a parade. First was a parade. And then they had races for all different age groups. Then they had, they used to have one that was throw rolling pins at Tojo's head.
Who's yes. Tojo?
Well, they had a picture of Tojo.
Who's Tojo? I don't know who that is.
Tojo was during the war. You know, he was a Japanese guy.
Oh, okay.
They probably don't have that anymore because it's not politically correct anymore.
No.
But let's say it was just a person. And so what they would do is they would throw rolling pins and try to knock the head down as on a, was on a hinge at the neck.
Mm-hmm.
They said all kinds of different.
Pie eating.
Yep, pie eating. All different kinds of races.
And there's that photo of the running race that it looks like your sister won.
Yeah.
Do
they used to go each year, you know, they would have like 6 to 7, 7 to 8, blah, blah. On up the line.
Do you remember what the prizes were if you won?
They weren't. They were a dollar, maybe, you know. I think it was 50 cents. It was money.
Yeah. Did you participate in any races?
Yes. I don't remember ever winning, but I may have. I don't remember.
And the whole town would come out?
Do what?
Would the whole town come out and participate?
Everybody. Matter of fact, we were there not too long ago on the 4th of July, and it was just like the olden days. Everything was just like the old days. It hadn't changed. It was really nice.
Yeah. And so that was all down on Broadway, all those activities?
Yes. On the corner where Riwi's store is, that corner.
Which is... Oh, I can't remember. It's Broadway and...
Right near the pack train. It's across the street from the kitty corner from the pack train.
Yeah. I can't remember which building it is. But anyway, yeah, basically just downtown.
Yeah, right in the center of town.
And then there was the Days of 98. Was that also 4th of July? Or
no, they used to have that all the time when the ships came in. As a matter of fact, I heard that at least the year that we were there several years ago, that they requested that the cruise ships not dock until a certain hour, like in the afternoon, 4 o'clock or something like that. To give the townspeople a time to enjoy their 4th of July, which I thought was very well done. I'm glad they did that, because we were down there another time and the cruise ships were in, and you couldn't walk down the street. It was too packed. Of course, they all want to see what's going on, and the local people didn't even have an opportunity, you know, to enjoy their own 4th.
Mm-hmm. But so that Days of 98, was that a show, or that was a... celebrating the anniversary of the...
No, it was a show that they put on. I would say it was probably financially... There must have been some financial gains from it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the show with Dan McGrew, you know, and then they had Funny Bunny, Funny Paper they gambled with.
Oh.
And they had a little cart they ran around and arrested people.
Oh, right.
For certain things, you know, so.
Yeah.
It's a tourist thing.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned cruise ships. Now, nowadays, you know, that's quite the business that goes on in Skagway. When you were growing up, were there tour ships coming in and tourists
coming in? Yes, but not to the extent they have them now. Then it was the Princess, just the Princess Cruise Line was the only one.
Hmm.
Princess Nora, I think, and Princess Kathleen, I think there was another one. Prince George. These were all ships that my grandfather was the agent for.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you said that he was an agent, I was thinking it was a passenger service that then they'd, you know, connect to the train to Whitehorse. I didn't think that it would have been tourists also.
No,
it would have been.
Yeah. He interacted with the cruise ships.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember, besides the Days of 98 show, what other things tourists did in Skagway when they got off the ship?
They'd go up to the graveyard, the old graveyard from that Soapy Smith is supposed to be buried in, and just walk around town, check out the gardens, you know, and that's about it.
Because in those days, people... had big flower gardens?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What were the buildings? Like, what did downtown look like? Where your parents had their business? Was it old buildings? What did it
look old like? Buildings. A lot of them were vacant. I think they were probably left over from the gold rush, mm-hmm. Just deserted, you know. And so a lot of them were vacant.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of them have been renovated now, but at that time... But
that's why I'm wondering what it looked like in the...
Yeah, at that time there were a lot of them vacant. Thinking on Mom's, on the transfer company, I think that whole block all the way north was vacant. Then across the street was Kermsey's.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think somebody came along and put a little five and dime store in there or something.
But the Arctic Brotherhood Hall, that was there?
That's A.B. Hall. That's across the street, yes.
Right, but that was there. And then next door to it was the Washington Alaska Steamship Company.
That's where my grandfather...
Your grandfather worked.
Right.
Okay. And now you mentioned something about a house next to the Eagles Hall, another house you lived in on 6th Avenue?
Right.
Near the Pullen House?
Right. That house actually ended up belonging to my sister and I.
And where... Was it next to the Pullen House or across the street? Where?
Across the street. Well, the Pullen House kind of extended the end of the street. It covered both north and south of that street.
Mm-hmm.
The main Pullen House was north of us. It was across the street.
Okay. Well, now there's this Peniel Mission building.
That's it.
That was it?
Yep.
So you owned that?
Yes.
And then did you give the Park Service buy it from you, or you sold it to somebody else?
We sold it to somebody else.
Okay.
I don't remember. My sister was in Skagway and took care of the details. Uh-huh. I don't remember.
So when did you live there, or why did you have that building?
When Mom and Dad gave up the transfer company, they sold the transfer company to Bill Firo, and he owned that house at the time, so that was in the trade.
Okay. And so do you remember living in it?
Yes.
What was that?
That was the one with the hardwood floors that we used to polish with our sock hops.
Ah.
And I used to have to cut that hedge out in front. There's a big hedge.
Yeah, not anymore, but
might
maybe
have taken it down.
Yeah. There's an apple tree.
There used to be an apple tree there, too.
Okay. Because there's still an apple tree next
to
it.
That's good.
Yeah. I was there in October, and it was producing quite well. And the Moore cabin and house is kind of behind it, the old Moore homestead.
You mean a building behind it?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I remember being a church behind it, but I think they've taken that church down from what you said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then you have photos of a fire at the Eagles Hall. Do you remember
that? Yeah, I don't remember that. I don't. It was either before or after my time. I don't know.
Okay. Were there other fires in Skagway? I mean, the fact that at least downtown, all those buildings close together.
I don't remember any others that I can speak of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there must have been, but I don't remember.
You know, it wasn't the house you were in or the house next door.
That's right. Or anyone I knew close up.
So the one thing we haven't talked about is the railroad in Skagway, because I know your family didn't work for the railroad.
No.
It was a big business.
It was the main thing in Skagway, yes. It was the lifeblood of Skagway, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But my family, no. It did.
Was there a social separation between railroad families and non-railroad families?
If there was, I'm not aware of it. My grandparents they played cards with Dr. Dahl and his wife and Elmer Rasmussen. And Elmer Rasmussen was, his family, his children were my uncle's friends,
mm-hmm.
his two boys. And I don't remember my grandparents having any other friends, particular railroad friends. But I don't remember ever having them excluded either, you know. Mm-hmm. So they only had so much time for social life, and that's what they're what did I say, playing cards, playing right. bridge, you know, this type of thing. But that's all I can remember.
As kids, was there any push-pull between railroad kids and regular
city kids? I don't remember any, if there ever was any. I think most of the kids, like myself, that were born there were pretty independent, you know. We didn't pay too much attention to anything else. Just, you know, we had our groups and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
The group that I belonged to, there's five kids I used to run around with. One was railroad. Sharon's, her dad was a postmaster. Let's see, Barbara Sharon. Janet was her husband, her father was a railroad. And, of course, my dad was an electrician. And let's see, Janet, Sharon, Barbara. There's five of us, my sister and I.
Mm-hmm. So what were those gals' names, Janet?
Janet Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y. She's deceased.
Uh-huh.
Sharon McGuane. And she's the one I see now. She lives in La Jolla.
Okay.
Her dad was a postmaster. Janet's dad worked on the railroad.
Okay.
And Barbara Bidinger, her dad worked on the railroad.
Okay.
And then, of course, my sister and I were the ones right. that I used to spend time with.
Right. Did it feel like a company town with the railroad being so dominant?
You know, I can't remember ever feeling like it was a company town. You know, like as a child, what is around you is the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if I'm surrounded by my grandparents, and then, you know, Canadian Pacific is the world.
Right.
So I don't remember ever having any controversy or anything with any railroad people
mm-hmm.
or like Nana or anything like that. I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah.
Had you run into something like that?
No, I'm just wondering. That's why I'm asking, because I don't know.
I think a lot of people were on Skagway first. Mm-hmm. They were Skagwegians.
Is that what it is?
Skagwegians.
Right. And, you know, also I ask, because I know when the railroad shut down, it was a big hardship for people in the community. So.
Oh, definitely.
And that was after you weren't there anymore. So it's just getting a sense of what the town was like, and, you know, and how people interacted with each other, and that's all.
Well, in a case like that where the people depend on one entity so much, it has a ripple down effect. You know, it's going to affect the grocery store, it's going to affect the electrical company, mm-hmm. the transfer company. It affects everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's it's too bad they don't have another source of tourism.
Now it's tourism.
Of course, yeah.
Right. And that's why I was asking, in your memories of the 40s and 50s, how much tourism was a factor.
Tourism was, I can remember when the boats came in. I remember the tourists on the streets. And I remember when the boats went out, us kids used to walk along and look in the cracks of
the boardwalk sidewalk?
The boardwalk sidewalks. We look in the cracks and see if they drop money.
Did you find it?
We'd harvest it, yeah.
How would you get it out?
Oh, all different kinds of ways. Gum on the end of a pencil or two sticks. Those are the two ways that we're used to.
Well, there was your candy money, right?
Yeah, yeah. Then I didn't have to break my piggy bank.
Right. Something else. So do you remember, you may have been too young, during the war years when the military was there, was there a lot of train traffic going back and forth?
I don't remember. It was, like I say, I was too young and my world was too little, you know, it's not.
Yeah.
A child that age doesn't pay too much attention to what's going on
right.
down the end of the street.
Right. And when you were living on Broadway in the transfer building, that was later.
Yes.
So the trains wouldn't have been going Mm-mm. by.
No. I can remember the trains, but it was just a normal
right.
couple times a day, you know.
Right. And by that point, they were hauling ore?
Yes.
For the mining?
As a matter of fact, There's been some concern about the effect that ore has had on Skagway, cancer, et cetera. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I don't. I have a friend, though, Janet, I mentioned, that we used to run, that died of cancer. She lived right near the railroad track. She died of cancer at a very early age, like 30, 35, something like that. I don't know.
It has. You're right. It has been a continuing question by people who still live there. But did you take the train up to Whitehorse as passengers?
I did a couple of times. Yes, we went up as a basketball team once.
Oh,
it was a fun trip. The first time I'd ever swam in a hot springs, and we went to the Whitehorse hot springs. Mm-hmm. It is etched in my memory. I can remember coming up out of the water and my hair being frozen.
Oh, you did it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
That's very
fun. It was below zero.
Yeah.
The only problem was getting out of the water and running up to the dressing room. That was a tough one.
That's the hard part. Yeah. So did you guys regularly compete with the team in Whitehorse? Or?
No, this was just a one-time thing. We had kind of an active basketball team at the time. We played Haynes and we played Whitehorse.
Hmm.
But we never went further than that. I guess they have now, I guess they took state championship a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So you didn't go to Juno to play?
No, we never went that far.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody always beat us.
Well, certainly basketball is a popular sport.
Yes, very popular in Skagway, too.
Yeah.
Because there was so little else to do.
Did they have baseball or football teams?
There was baseball. There always at the 4th of July, there was always a big baseball game.
Hmm.
But I don't remember ever, no football teams.
Right. Did the school have a baseball team, the high school?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Probably because that's a summer sport and they were not in session during the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays, they play it in the springtime. After this, not in Skagway, but in other parts of Alaska, it's a late spring kind of, I think, truncated season.
They have boys club and other things too now in other areas that have, you know, that have their Babe Ruth League and Little League and stuff like that that don't involve the schools.
Right.
So.
But in Skagway, that reminds me of clubs. There's this picture of the Emblem Club, the women's...
Yeah, it was very active. Emblem Club was very active.
And that's part of the Elks Club?
I think so.
Was your mother involved?
No.
And what about kids? Was there Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts?
There was
4-H.
4-H. I don't remember Boy Scouts, and I don't remember Girl Scouts, but 4-H is the only one I knew about. That doesn't mean they weren't there. It just something.
It's what you guys did.
Exactly.
And do you remember what the Emblem Club did?
They did a lot of charitable things. They put on a lot of things. Very active in the community. Different things. Not being directly involved, I can't be more specific, but...
Charity events makes me think of Christmas, and that was at the Elks Hall?
Yes.
Can you talk about the...
Every child in Skagway had a present under the tree. Now, I don't know how they did that. Logistically, that is an amazing feat.
Yes, they had to order things way early.
And not only that, but they had to have the name of every child. It had their name on it. It wasn't just a present for somebody. And so that was quite an event too. Everybody knew if they went down to the Elks Club, they would have a present under that tree.
And everybody went.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then what about Christmas programs at the school? You remember performing?
There was always a Christmas program. Yes. And at the church, we used to on Christmas Eve we used to go to church at the Presbyterian Church.
Mm-hmm.
The candlelight service, and then we would go up to the Catholic Church and go to their midnight mass. That was a tradition for us kids.
Was your family Presbyterian or Catholic?
Presbyterian, but Sharon was Catholic. But Sharon couldn't go to our candlelight service, but we would go with her to her midnight mass.
Interesting. And then how did your family do Christmas at home?
We had the usual celebration, you know, everybody got together, turkey dinner, you know.
On Christmas Day?
Yes.
Yeah.
the open presents on Christmas Day, and then the big family dinner.
Mm-hmm. And when was the Eagles Hall part? Was that?
Do you know, I can't remember. It wasn't on the same time, I'm sure.
Right.
Maybe it was Christmas Eve. I don't remember. Might have been the weekend before. I don't know.
Well, and we've been talking about the schools and teams and things, and I wanted to ask you about the Native community in Skagway, because we had that one photo of the students at the Immaculate Conception, with a mission,
Mission School.
Pious Mission School. And that looks to be more Native.
They eventually got so that at least the boys played basketball with our boys' team. Mm-hmm. They had their own school, though. And the girls didn't have near as much freedom as the boys did. The girls were very, they didn't go anywhere without a group of nuns, the nuns.
And was there much interaction as kids?
Not the girls. The boys there were, but not the girls, were not allowed to.
Even outside of school? Mm-hmm. Like if you were out with your friends, would they be at the Sweet Tooth or wherever you were?
The mission girls never went to those places. The only time we ever saw them was when they walked in a line out of the mission school down to the theater once a week or whenever, how often they went. And that was it. They'd go to the theater and then they'd go back to the mission school. They didn't go out otherwise. They didn't go out in the community.
But the boys did go out in the community?
The boys were allowed out, yes.
Hmm. Did they also stay in groups, kind of, or they were?
No, they intermingled.
Mm-hmm.
They played basketball, intermingled with the rest of the kids.
Do you have a sense of how the community of Skagway felt about having that mission there?
You know, I don't. I know that it was, I was always taught not to discriminate, so, and that's the way I lived my life. So I don't know if there was discrimination otherwise or not. I don't know. I know we had a Native girl in my class, who I walked to school with every day because she lived further down the street from me, and we just happened to meet at my corner.
Right.
So, and that was not a big deal for me.
Right. Well, but you say you were taught not to discriminate, and you didn't ever witness any obvious discrimination.
There's always a few jerks, but heck, they could discriminate against anybody. You know,
right.
They're going to if they're a bully, they're going to discriminate against somebody who's weaker than they are.
Right.
So I don't know if it was more looking down at that person or, you know.
There were no Natives allowed signs or things like that?
No, not that I can, not that I was aware of.
I'm aware of in other parts of Alaska, so, yeah.
Were there in other parts of Alaska?
I've heard that there were, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Skagway was a funny town. Skagway was, when I say it was the biggest little town in the world, it really was. It was very sophisticated for being so little.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and you said something about it was very sort of liberal and accepting.
Yeah.
For its time.
That's what that's the sense I got, yes.
Mm-hmm. And was it a good place to grow up?
How was it? An excellent place to grow up. I'm not sure that it's, I can't say that because I'm not aware of it. I don't think there's any place that's safe right now. Whether it be Skagway or Washington or, you know, Anchorage or any place, I think it's a tough time for kids to grow up.
Right.
And, but at that time, it was a very safe place for children. Very safe.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you formed very close relationships. That you spent years as best friends with Carl Nord and Ludi and...
It was years before I could leave Skagway without tears in my eyes. It just was so implanted in me. It was, and when I say that title, It Takes a Village, that's exactly what it was. Every time I hear that, I think of Skagway because that's what it was. It was my village.
Yeah.
It was my strength. It was my courage. It was my everything.
Yeah.
And it always gave me that. It gave me that to live by.
Yeah. Well, and to say it sounds like from your stories and talking to Carl Nord, having that freedom as a kid to just run around and do whatever
exactly
helped shape you.
Yes. Exactly. There's very few things, I think, that we were forbidden to do. And I don't remember being forbidden to go to the river, but we never did.
Yeah.
So yeah. That was the only thing that would have been.
Well, and it was so cute that what Carl, the Nord family, and then the Selmers also went and moved to Bainbridge Island, and yeah. You and your sister continued to communicate with them and write letters and send pictures and things.
We were very close to them when we were kids. They were our world. They were part of our world. I don't remember having friends outside of Carl and Ludi and just that area, Collins Patterson, and you know that was all within a 2-block area.
Yeah.
So.
And Carl Mulvihill, he lived down the street.
Down the street, so I didn't see too much of Carl Mulvihill, but.
Well, it's very fun. Maybe we should take a little break.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
And then I can look at some of the pictures and talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Would you like some?
Okay, we are back from our lovely little coffee and coffee cake break. I'm now energized. we were talking about grandparents, and you had mentioned living with your grandparents and reflecting on how that contributed to your life.
I think that we've lost something in our society these days because our children don't have the benefit of the knowledge from the grandparents. There's a whole different perspective on life and their understanding of patience, etc., that you can learn from them that they're not getting, they don't have access to. And I think it's too bad. I think we have done a great disservice to the young people in our communities.
And so you feel you benefited from...
Oh, definitely.
And how so?
Well, my grandmother was the ultimate patience. You could do anything, and she would talk about it and never get angry with you or never criticize you. Everything you did was okay, but maybe she might show you a better way to do it. Now, my grandfather, he was a teacher, harsh mm-hmm. perhaps. But he wanted you to learn something. He wanted you to learn it right. And I've been asked before if I would have had a chance to be without that type of encounter with my grandfather, since he was so harsh, if I would have chosen the same path. And very definitely, he added something to my life. He made me more curious. He made me more thorough about things I do. There was just a great deal that I learned from both my grandparents, and I think it's too bad that other children don't have that opportunity to learn from their own. I think they've got something to offer, and the kids are missing it.
You said that you were curious, and his curiosity helped spawn more of your curiosity.
Exactly. What he would do is, if you would bring something up, he would make you explore it. He wouldn't just give you answers. He would make you explore it. He would take you down the path to find out where it started or whichever way it went, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was just what he would teach you to do that.
Neat.
It was very neat.
Yeah.
I had exceptional grandparents, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky. And I was very lucky to be able to spend time with them.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One thing that I rediscovered during our break that I was going to talk to you about that I had forgotten was this movie Harpoon.
Oh, yes.
That Carl Nord also mentioned, that was filmed in Skagway in 1947. Do you remember much about that?
I do. It was a big time in Skagway. The movie company had come, and everybody was excited. Some of the local people were in the movie. And I remember one of the boys our age, in our age group, named Patrick Sullivan, had been given the part. And we all memorized his lines. It was, "Hit him again, Pa, he falls funny." And I've never forgotten that because that was his line in the movie. "Hit him again, Pa, he falls funny." And all of us kids remembered that line.
That's funny. Do you remember what the movie was about and why they filmed in Skagway?
Actually, I would like to see it again if I could ever find it. It had to do with a very harsh environment, I know, with the water and the mountainous area. So I suppose that's why they filmed it there.
Mm-hmm. So was it about commercial whaling? I mean, Harpoon makes it sound like
yes, I think so, yes.
Hmm. Well, it says here in this thing that's, I think, from Carl Nord's books, that released by Screen Guild September 24, 1948, 83 minutes long. So were your parents in the movie?
No, they weren't in the movie, but they were very involved with the technical part because of the transfer company. You know, they transported their equipment and the logistics, you know, helped mm-hmm. them with that.
Well, and this is your grandmother's in this picture, too.
Graham always wanted to be a star. I don't know if she was in the movie or not. She may have been, but I don't know.
I don't know. She's dressed up in, looks like jeans and a plaid flannel shirt, but maybe that's what she wore all the time.
No, she was usually wore dresses at home, but she was play acting there, but I'm not sure what it was. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she was in the movie or not. I really don't know if she was or not.
Now, who's Mac?
Mac
says, Grant Means, Ethel Johnston, Jack Benson, Christine Lamoureux, Mac, and Dean Spencer.
I don't know who Mac is.
I don't know if you recognize him. I think he's the guy in the back there.
No. Uh-uh. He's not anybody from Skagway, I don't think. Maybe that's why they couldn't fill in the name,
maybe,
because he just knew him by his first name.
So was there a lot of excitement about this movie star?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. The whole town turned out. I remember the part that Patrick had was down on the dock in Skagway, and the whole town was there to watch, and he was in a fishing boat, and there was this big would-be fist, you know, they're fighting.
Uh-huh.
And it was such an interesting thing for us to see because we'd never seen behind the scenes of a, you know, you see the cameras and everything, and you don't see that when you're looking at the movie, so
right.
It was quite interesting. Yeah, and there was a lot of excitement, and while they were there, it was really quite a deal.
Do you remember how long they were there?
No, I don't. I do remember when I was in the hospital. I must have been gone to the hospital right about then or shortly thereafter, because Dean Spencer, who's pictured there,
right,
wrote me a letter and asked if he could do anything. And I told him that I wanted a picture, a signed picture of Roy Rogers and Trigger. And he got it for me and sent it to me.
Wow.
And I never forgot that.
So he was part of the film crew?
Yes, he was a sound person.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because it says that it was August of 47.
47, okay, that would have made me 8 years old, okay.
Till September 16th is how long they were there, according to this article.
To August of 47?
August 14th, 1947, until September 16, 1947. So they were there about a month.
Yeah. I remember them, but I must have gotten tuberculosis right about that time or right after that time.
Yeah. But you were still there, though, when that happened.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty exciting.
It was. Everybody was excited. Well, you know, that was something different for Skagway. You know, we never... All we ever watched is the movies, you know, once a week in their little theater.
Well, yeah, that's interesting that there was a movie theater in Skagway, right?
Yes. I think they had a different movie either once or twice a week. I can't remember.
And were they current movies or were you getting old ones?
Old movies. Abbott and Costello and et cetera, you know. Old movies, pretty much old movies. A lot of cowboy, Roy Rogers,
mm-hmm.
and Trigger, and Dale Evans, and Hopalong Cassidy.
And well, you might have been too young if the military guys went to those movies too.
I don't remember ever seeing military people there, but I don't know.
Yeah, because yes, Skagway does not have a movie theater now.
Not one, huh?
Nope.
That's all because they've got television now.
Mm-hmm.
With
maybe that's
CDs,
why.
You know, they can buy.
Yeah, or they can download
videos.
Yeah. Netflix and all those things now.
Definitely.
But I don't know when the movie theater closed down.
I don't know. They had two at one time. And Bill Ferro owned one of them. And this, when I was, I worked at one of them and sold popcorn. And my sister was the sold tickets for about 6 months. And then,
do you remember which theater that
was? It was a Coliseum.
Okay.
It's next to Riwi's. Next to Riwi's grocery store.
And what was the other one?
I can't remember, but that was the other one was owned by Bill Ferro. But then Bill Ferro became manager of the Coliseum.
Hmm.
I don't know. I guess the other manager quit or something. I went back to...
But the other theater, was it also on Broadway? Or it was...
Yes. And was owned, the Coliseum was owned by the Gross Brothers in Juno, I remember.
I wonder what the name of the other one was.
I can't remember.
And then, because there was this photo we had of the movie theater and the...
that was a...
the cafe that was next to it. Where is that picture? Where we were trying to figure out which building.
I think that was the other one. See, this is Riwi's grocery store right here.
Right next, okay.
Right, and this is the Coliseum.
Okay. So Riwi's is to the left on this photo. If you're facing, if the looking at this picture, Riwi's is the building on the left.
Right, you go, left is north.
Okay, and then this other one, it's the Igloo Snack Bar. Do you remember that?
Yes. That was a bar.
Well, it says here, fountain service, lunches and dinners, confections, magazines.
Oh, I don't know when that turned. Last, we went there one time, Herb and I were there one time in, it must have been the 60s, and it was a bar.
Okay, it was no longer a snack bar or fountain.
I don't know what that when that picture was taken.
Yeah,
that might be an afterwards. They might have changed it from a bar to a snack bar. I don't know.
You don't remember going there when you were a teenager or anything?
No.
Okay.
We went to the, what was the name of it? I'll have to think about it. There was another one across the street that we went to.
It wasn't the Sweet Tooth. That's more recent.
No.
Okay. You had a, like it was a soda fountain kind of place you guys would go to?
Right. There was a restaurant by the name of Patterson's.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, I can't remember the name of it. I've been, it wasn't the Igloo, it was, I don't remember.
Well, as you think about it, we'll look at some of these photos.
Okay.
That maybe it'll spark your memory. Let's see. So, this photo by the gas pump. You told me that's your mom and dad by the gas pump?
That's my mom and dad looking. Looks like they're looking south. Looking south from the transfer company on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
That's Christine. And Kenneth Lamoureux.
Do you know when that gas pump got removed?
Boy, I don't know. As far as I have no idea.
Okay.
Wasn't during my time there.
Okay. But that was out in the street in front of the building?
Was,
but there were train tracks. There was room for a gas pump?
train tracks on Broadway?
Yeah.
They took those out a long time ago.
Oh, okay. They were already gone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And cars used to pull right up, and we'd pump gas for them.
Do you remember how much gas was?
No. I'd probably just given it to them.
That's great. So was that a successful business for them, that transport company?
Yes, it was. But it was a lot of work, too, and it was strenuous work. When my dad got sick, it was just too much for my mother by herself. My uncle worked for a while, my Uncle Hal, but he got sick, too, so.
So what was so hard about it? Were they doing the physical lifting of freight and all that?
Right.
Oh, it wasn't just sitting in the office and coordinating.
No. Taxi cab was easy. They had taxis. that was easy, but you had to drive down the docks and pick up freight and move it to the to where it went, and also deliver oil.
All right. Was there an oil truck that delivered
it? Yes, a big tank on the back of a truck, an oil mm-hmm. truck.
And did they have employees, or it was just the two of them?
No, they had, my uncle worked for them for a while, and then Warner. A fellow by the name of Warner worked for him for a while. What's his first name?
Jack, no.
He owns that big hotel there now.
Yeah, Wanda Warner was his wife later.
Yeah, Wanda.
I think, was that his wife?
Yes.
I can find out his first name.
They weren't married though when this happened.
Right. I want to say Jack Warner, but I don't know why.
That's not the right name. I want to say Kurt Warner, but that's not it either.
Well, that we can find out his name. If we now know who you're talking about.
Nova Warner.
Oh.
N-O-V-A.
Okay.
I'm sure of that.
Okay. Yes, it's an unusual name.
Yes, it is.
Okay. So he was the taxi driver or the...
He did whatever duties is assigned, I think you'd probably say, in today's job descriptions.
Right. And other people that worked for them?
Off and on. I know my Uncle Hal did, Hal Johnston, and I think my Uncle Vernon did too, off and on. And I think Bill Firo did, off and on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes sense if Bill Firo took over the business that he'd been an employee at some point. That's a common transition.
Transitional.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have this other photo of a family group.
Okay, the top row is my dad, Kenneth Lamoureux.
Uh-oh, my pen just ran out, of course. Okay. So this family group picture.
Okay, top left is Kenneth Lamoureux, my dad.
Okay.
Next to him is Louis Johnston, Jr. He is Hal Johnston, we call him.
Okay.
And the next one is Rodney Johnston. He's the oldest of my aunts and uncles.
Okay.
And then Walter Price, who's was Burl's husband. And then down from him is Ed Polk. And then Burl Johnston.
B-E-R-Y-L.
Her name is Justine, but we called Burl. Okay. Margaret Johnston. Then the second row from the bottom is L.H. Johnston, my grandfather.
What is it?
L.H. Johnston.
L.H. Okay.
And then Ethel Mae Johnston.
Okay.
My mother, Christine Johnston.
Was she Lamoureux yet?
Lamoureux, yeah, she is. Next to her is Mildred Johnston holding their daughter, baby Diana.
Okay.
And then sitting on the steps is Karen Lamoureux, my sister.
So left to right?
Yes.
Karen.
Myself.
Okay. Karen and Kay.
Right.
Okay, now I have to just double check this. I wasn't looking at the photo that I have this right. So the back row, top left, with the white T-shirt, that's your father?
No, this is my father right here.
Oh, okay.
Right here, this one.
With the white collar. Okay, so with the white collar.
Yeah.
So, well,
I kind of screwed that up.
No, that's okay. That's why I'm asking, is so I get it right. So the very back row with the white T-shirt on the left.
That's Hal.
That's equals Hal or Lewis. And then?
Walt Price.
Is to his right. Okay, and then the next row. So
Kenneth Lamoureux.
Right. Okay, second row from back equals Ken.
Rodney Johnston.
Rodney, okay. the woman who's just down.
That's Burl Johnston.
That's Burl. And then Ed
Margaret. Polk. Margaret Polk.
And then who's that man?
Oh, we missed her.
Between the two women.
That's Ed Polk.
Ed Polk, okay. And then Margaret.
Right.
Okay. And then the front row is L.H. That one's easier. Is L.H. Grant, Ethel.
Christine.
Christine, and then Mildred.
Mildred.
Okay.
Deanna.
Right, and then you two girls. Right. It was the group in the back that...
I know, they didn't make very good rows in those days.
No, well, and I couldn't see what you were talking about, so I wanted to make sure I got it right. So now this is a Hattie L. Jacobs tombstone?
Yes, this is one of my grandmother's. It's buried in the cemetery up on the Dyea Road toward Dyea.
Okay.
She was born in 1848 and died in 1922.
And now who? And she was one of your grandmothers?
Yes. Now my other grandmother's buried across the valley over on the old cemetery where Soapy Smith was buried.
Oh, okay.
But we've never been able to find her grave.
Okay. So how is Hattie related to you?
She is my great... She'd be my great-great-grandmother. Great-great-grandmother.
Great-great-grandmother. On your mother's side?
My mother's side.
Okay. Okay. And then the other one that you couldn't find, do you know her name?
I can't remember her name. Okay. I could look it up.
No, that's okay. Okay. And then here's this great photo of you and your sister on your bikes in front of the transit.
Right. This is in front of the transfer company, my sister and I, looking north up Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
But you notice my bike. That was my uncle's bike. I didn't have my own bike, so I commandeered my uncle's bike from my grandmother. It's a wild one.
The bikes look a little bit big for you.
Yeah. I think that one for my sister is hers, but that was, she got it for her birthday.
So you're the one on the left, in the front?
That's my sister.
Your sister's the first one on the left?
Yes.
And you're the one behind?
That's me. I'm the tomboy.
Oh. Okay. So Kay is on. Now, did you ride your bikes on the boardwalk sidewalk?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yes.
No problem, huh?
Mm-mm.
Can you guess about what year this would have been?
Well, let's see. Probably.
Based on how old you might look?
I would say we're probably 7 or 8. I'd say about 7 or 8.
Okay.
Maybe my, yeah.
So about 19...
Yeah.
46, 47.
Oh, here's the sign here, Alaska Transfer.
Yeah.
Fuel, oil, taxi, and Holly. And then it has the Alaska Coastal Ellis Airlines. I think it was just Alaska Coastal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Sign right next to it.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's a separate sign?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that's? I couldn't read what that sign behind
it. Well, you can't read
says,
it, but I recognize
the symbol. But you recognize the logo.
Yeah.
Cool.
I worked for Alaska Coastal in Juneau for a couple of years in my youth as a ticket agent.
So you definitely know the logo.
Yeah.
But it was all the same building.
Yes.
Yeah, it was. It's just, yeah, now that you say it, I can almost read airlines, but I wouldn't have known that. That's awesome. That's great. Do you remember what was in, like, the building next door?
And it was vacant.
No, it was vacant.
Like I say, that whole block, I think, as I recall, was vacant. And the first one was Kermsey's, I think, was across the street down that block.
Yeah, I don't know. So you were between second and third.
Right.
Golden North Hotel.
Second and third. I would say...
It was across the street.
Which street was the railroad?
The depot is on 2nd.
On 2nd?
Yes, the corner of 2nd and Broadway.
Okay, so then 3rd would have been the next street. We would have been on the corner of 3rd.
No, you were between 3rd. According to this map of Skagway, you were between 2nd and 3rd.
No, Kermsey's was...
You were here.
Well, that could be... There's a railroad. There's this. That's right. I guess that's not really a street then.
There was that alley? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it was
about?
Just kind of an alley, I guess.
Yeah, where the old crib.
Or driveway, whatever it was.
Yeah, in that photo I showed you, there's a building that was in the back that they're now saying in the Gold Rush time was a crib, a prostitution place.
Okay. Now, they were talking about where the Quonset huts were, where there's a whole bunch of them on that side of the valley too.
Hmm.
I just remember now they were all vacant on that side of the valley.
So behind
us, yeah.
Well, that's kind of where the Westmark Hotel is now, right?
Right, but it's not on those buildings.
No. But there were Quonset huts there.
The Westmark Hotel is where, right behind where our office was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, and you remember it being lots of Quonset.
Yes, I know Quonset are just the square buildings.
Yeah, okay.
Barracks type.
Cool. Okay, this is a basketball team photo.
Okay, the only ones here that I can tell you is the front row. I had all the names at one time. I don't know what I've done with them. But that's my mother in the front.
Starting on the left?
Starting on the left, right.
Okay.
She's number 3. And my Aunt Burl is number 1, Justine.
Oh, on their shirts.
Yeah.
Is mom number 1 equals... I see why she used Burl instead of Justine.
B-R-Y-L.
Yeah.
Her actual name is Justine. Yeah. It's not Burl. We always called her Burl.
Okay. And that's all you recognize.
Yes.
Any idea? Well, they were in high school, so I guess we could figure out the date.
I have a picture with a Britain on the back. I sat down with Burl time, and she gave me the names, but they're not on this picture, so I'll have to look it up.
Okay. And now we have this colored basketball team picture.
Okay. This is my high school team, and that's Janet Purdy.
So where are you starting?
Top left, right.
Okay.
Janet Purdy.
Okay.
Kay Lamro.
Okay.
Tookie Saldine.
Okay.
Sandra. I can't remember last name.
Okay.
Okay, in the front row, Shirley Cooper.
Okay.
Karen Lamro, my sister. And this girl, I don't remember her name.
Okay. That's okay.
She hadn't been there for very long. Percy, I think, was her last name, but I don't remember her first name.
Okay. Do you remember about what year this would have been?
That would have been when I was a junior in high school.
Okay.
Which would have been 56. 55, 56.
Okay. And Tookie Saldine, how do you know how to spell that?
S-O-L-D-E-N.
And Tookie?
Tookie, T-O-O-K-Y.
Okay.
I know that's a...
It's a nickname, I would think.
I know.
But that's okay. That's how you knew her?
Well, I would say Irene, but I won't get her mixed up with her sister, so I just assume leave it at Tookie.
Let's leave it at Tookie.
Because I know who that is.
This is a photograph of an old postcard that, you know, I don't know what year, but there's Skagway, and looks like there's a cruise ship.
That's not that old then?
Yeah.
I think the reason I kept that was because you don't see many views of Skagway from the ocean looking north.
Yeah, well, it has to be, well, there's the ore terminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. But all this empty land here in front, that's not like that anymore.
What's there?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it looks like there's empty, I think there's more buildings, or there's a kind of a garden area along the creek.
Yeah.
And there's a ferry terminal and dock that I think is longer than what's shown, but I don't know.
Might be the angle, too.
Yeah, it could be.
Because I think the depot is either there or there.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think that's an interesting picture because, like I say, you don't see many pictures of Skagway looking toward the north. They're all looking south.
Right, or from the air. Most of them are taken
exactly.
from the water.
Yeah.
Okay. This lovely, stunning couple.
This is my grandfather, L.H. Johnston, and my grandmother,
Ethel. Did she go by Ethel May? Was that her?
Just Ethel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what the L.H. stood for?
I'm sorry?
Your grandfather went by L.H.?
Oh, it's Lewis Hallett.
Okay, you said that before. Okay. And in that beautiful fur coat and fancy shoes.
And these trees, this is around their house. These trees, when they planted them, were all really small. And by the time, the last time I saw them, they were just dwarfed the house. They're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got this house on this street, this block, and that's all you see is all these trees and just an opening.
So is their house still there?
It's been sold to somebody else, and they've redone it, and they've taken down the trees, from my understanding. But I think Grant put them up there because of the wind.
Mm-hmm.
There were wind blocks from the trees, so when it's so cold.
Yeah. And that's on the corner of Alaska and... What did we say?
Alaska and wherever Carl's house was, whatever street.
All right. I can't remember, but we can...
If you had a map, I could probably see it.
Yeah, I didn't bring one with me other than this downtown historic one. I don't think I have my map of all of Skagway. I don't think I brought that with me. I have one, but... but that's close enough. Well, I was going to say that, you know, to see them so well-dressed and look like, you know, regular city folk.
I'll tell you something. Gramp, not a day in his life did he ever go to work without a tie and a white shirt and a tie and a suit on.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked to work every day and back.
Even in the cold winter wind.
Even in the cold.
Mm-hmm. Well, in this lovely fur, because I say it looks like they're, you know, going out to the theater in Seattle
really?
Or something. You don't think about that in frontier Skagway. Okay, this looks like the group of aunts and uncles.
That's exactly what it is. This is all of them here.
Okay, so you want to start from the left?
Okay, that's Christine.
So your mom.
Johnston, Christine Lamro.
Mm-hmm.
Helene Ingalls, Johnston Ingalls.
How do you say that again?
H-A-L-E-E-N, Helene.
Okay.
Ingalls, I-N-G-A-L-L-S.
Okay.
Burl.
Okay.
Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
Margaret Johnston.
Okay.
Hal Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
Vernon Johnston.
Okay.
Ken Johnston. And Rodney Johnston.
Okay. And now the only one, you said that your Uncle Hal is still alive?
Yes.
Out of that whole group.
He's the youngest. He and Margaret were the youngest, but Margaret's passed away. He's still alive.
So Helene, is Ingalls her married name?
She what?
Helene Ingalls, you said?
Yes, that's the second one.
And that is Ingalls her married name?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm getting
apples and
oranges mixed up.
No, that's okay. But the other ones, so yeah, your mom was Lamoureux. Burl Polk.
It's Burl Johnson now. She married a Johnson. She went from a Johnston to a Johnson.
And Margaret?
Polk, P-O-L-K.
Okay. And then the men. See, that's women changing their name. It's very confusing. Okay. Two women, moms and daughters there.
Oh, this is Margaret.
Okay.
Holding Karen, my sister.
Okay.
And Burl holding me. And I was struggling to get away.
Yeah, you mentioned that you were an active child.
Very active. I nearly drove everyone crazy.
Okay. Was that was unusual in your family to be so active?
Well, I think everybody's probably normal active level. I was probably a little abnormal.
That's why you went and did all that adventuring by yourself, right?
That's exactly true, too. I was afraid of nothing.
Okay.
And this is my dad.
Okay.
Kenneth Lamoureux.
Mm-hmm.
As a young man.
And you think that may have been when he was the janitor at the school?
This was the school here.
Okay. It's a lovely photo.
Yes, he was a handsome man.
Yeah, no wonder your mom married him. Mm-hmm. And now
this is my grandfather.
My
grandfather and my grandmother.
Okay.
And my sister Karen and myself.
So your sister's on the left?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Do you know where that was?
That was on the Dai Road somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this car, remember the one I was telling you about that I learned to drive in?
Uh-huh.
That was that one.
Oh, yeah, it looks like kind of an old woody station.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the one that you could sit in the back when they go over bumps. You had to be careful, you'd bounce out on the road.
So it was a manual, old kind of manual transmission, huh?
Mm-hmm. I can drive anything.
Yeah, well, I think if you could drive that, you could drive anything.
Definitely.
Right? I'm going to just pause for a sec. So this is photos from that you got from Carl Nord. This says Elks Fire 1943. This was the old Elks Club, but you may not remember that you were little.
No, it wasn't. That wasn't the one we lived next to. This must have burned down, and they built the one we lived next to.
Okay. This is another basketball, 1950 Panthers, Coach Barney Anderson, which has the names identified.
Right. Do you want me to read the names? Or?
No, we don't. You're giving me this copy, right?
Yes.
It's more if you have anything to say about it.
Barney was very active with the Panthers basketball team, though. Mm-hmm. I remember one time one of the players was named Eric Selmer, and Eric had a way of throwing a basketball over his head and making a basket, you know?
Wow.
Well, you know, half the time he didn't make them, too. Mm-hmm. And Barney told him that he could not do that during the game. Well, it was like 40-40, and Eric came running down. They had 1 minute to play, and he made this backhand and made the basket.
Wow.
And Barney gave him one swat with the paddle because that's what he had told him he would do if he did another one. So that was a big story.
But they won the game?
Won the game because of Eric's backhanded basket.
Cool. Well, this is pictures of the ration stamps and ration books, which prompts me to ask something I didn't ask about, which were things rationed during the war.
They must have been. Now this came from Carl also.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure exactly what this is, but I think that, yes, they were.
But you don't remember specifically?
No,
it
didn't affect us. But I think I do remember every once in a while Mother telling us, no, we couldn't have such and such because it was rationed or something. Mm-hmm. But
well, I love it. In the instructions, it says, quote, if you don't need it, don't buy it. So there must have been, there was rationing in the rest of the U.S. So far away in Skagway, where it was already hard to get things, I can't imagine.
Well,
the
worst part about Skagway, what happened in Skagway, is they shut down all the lakes and all the trails, and the guys in Skagway always went hunting and fishing, so they cut out that source of food, mm-hmm. which didn't work out very well.
Right. Did guys go around the guards and go anyway?
I'm not sure what they did. I know later on, I know my dad used to go up in the mountains and catch rabbits and bring them home and make rabbit stew and stuff like that. So I don't know if they went around them or not. I know you'd have to probably, Jim would know something like that because he was quite an outdoorsman.
Yeah. But they didn't, you could still go out to Dai, or they kept you from going to Dai too?
We didn't have a cabin. Oh yeah, we did have a cabin in Dai. I don't remember ever having any trouble going to Dai.
Hmm.
But I think our cabin was being built at the time. It wasn't... Yeah.
Okay. And then this is some old photos of you know, copies of old photos of old Skagway and Broadway. That's with the train. This was before your time.
Right, it is.
So, and we've seen lots of those kind of pictures. And here, this is audience at school carnival, October 25, 1947.
Yeah. Must have been for, they must have had a program of some kind. But see the booths around here they had, different
on
booths.
The back, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost looks like they're all sitting down waiting for a performance.
There must have been a performance or something before that.
Yeah, but looks like everybody's waiting for something. Okay, here's more Elks Club photos. And, oh, Carl Nord's mother's Emblem Club membership card.
Ah, okay.
So this must be the different Eagle. Is that the Eagle building you remember?
BPOE. There's the Eagles and the Elks.
BPB.
This is
Elks. You're right. I said Eagles. It's Elks.
Yeah, that's Elks. I think that other one we're looking at was the Eagles.
Yeah. And I don't know, where was the Elks building? Do you recognize this building?
It's on Fifth Avenue. So,
is it still there?
Yeah, I've been into it. It's on Fifth Avenue, I think.
So the Emblem Club was the Elks. So that's what this says for Carl's mom. Now here's this nice photo of this group of young women all dressed up circa 1941. It has their names. I don't know if... There's a couple names missing, but you probably don't recognize.
No.
And you don't. We talked before about what they might have been dressed up for.
We don't know. It might have been a prom. It might have been a... could be just about anything.
Yeah. Did women dress up for like a dance or something?
Well, we did have proms and senior balls.
Okay.
So it could have been one of those.
Mm-hmm. And your Aunt Margaret's in this picture.
Yes.
Any guess? Yeah, I don't know how old these...
Let me take a look at a picture. I can't tell.
Yeah.
She looks like she would be a junior or a senior, though.
You know, so they usually think they would have been high school age. Yeah, yeah. Barbara Dedman is in this picture, too, but don't know her age. The Pullen House and the McCabe House and the Catholic Church. Now, you said, and Priest's House, you said that Catholic Church and Priest's House was where?
It used to be behind our house on where we lived.
The Panama on 6th Avenue?
Yeah, behind our house. I think that's the one. It burned down.
Hmm, okay. Did it burn down during your time?
It was burned down during my time. Oh. When we lived in that house, it had burned down.
It had already burned down, okay.
It wasn't burned down completely. I think there was some of it that was still standing. Hmm. The steeple was still there.
Yeah. And, of course, the Pullen House was still there when you were living in Skagway.
It was there, but it was pretty well abandoned. She lived there, I think, by herself. We would see her every once in a while. Just shadows, you know.
Yeah. This is this... I'm trying to find... These are these pictures of the military ships during World War II at the dock.
There's three of them.
Three of them, and then there's another one. And then this bigger picture is labeled USS Hudson, 1945. Now, do you remember seeing these kinds of ships? You were too young.
No, those came from Carl's files.
Right, but you don't remember seeing them out in the... Okay. Yeah, this bigger one, the USS Hudson, does have, you know, gun things. Those other ones, we don't know what they're doing there.
They're not close enough.
Yeah. This is the batch of pictures of the school.
Right, the first school and then the second school, and then the one I remember.
Is on the
1938.
Bottom.
Must have been, these must have been built. This one was built in 1900 to 1938, and this one is 1938 to, it's gone now.
Yeah, but the one at the bottom, 38, that's the one you remember, that's the one you went to.
The high school was upstairs, and the elementary school was downstairs, and the gymnasium was on the end.
Oh, that's at the right back here with just those two windows. That was the gymnasium. Hmm. Do you remember how many kids were in the school?
Well, let's see. There was 12 in my 1957 graduating class. And so we were an extra large class. Let's say six. You know, I don't even think I can guess. Used to have like fourth and fifth grade together, and I don't think there were more than 25 kids in the room, and then fifth and sixth together, seventh and eighth together, and then high school together.
Oh, the high school was all together?
High school was upstairs all together.
Okay. Do you remember any favorite teachers, particularly influential teachers for you?
I can remember some teachers, but... Mr. Swick.
Yeah.
He was like the history teacher, the social science teacher, social studies teacher, and also the drama teacher. Band teacher.
Mr. Swick was...
Yeah. He was the band teacher.
Did you play an instrument?
Clarinet.
Oh.
Not too well, but I played the clarinet.
I was going to ask about music because I know a lot of people took piano.
I took piano lessons too. I can play a little bit of piano, but nothing.
And you
to brag about.
And you did some singing in the choir.
And I sang in the choir at the Presbyterian Church.
Pretty musical.
For several years, I sang in the choir.
Okay, let's finish these photos. So this is an Elks Auxiliary 1946 Emblem Club. This, again, came from Carl Nord.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody in there that...
Marion Fraser lived next to my grandparents. Marion was... she baked things all the time. Was a great baker and gardener. She was very much of a homemaker.
She's the front, second from left.
Second from the left in the middle row, I guess she'd be. They had a beautiful home that her husband had built. His name was Harry. And it was a log home, and he stained all the logs. You know, it was just a gorgeous home.
Well, what did he do? Did he work for the railroad?
I think he worked for the railroad, but he was an excellent carpenter. He, knotty pine throughout the house.
Mm-hmm.
Just a very pretty house.
So would you go over there to get pie or something from Mrs. Fraser?
We would go over there. Marion would watch us every once in a while. My sister and I, if my parents and grandparents were doing something together, she would watch us. And she never had children of her own, so she scared the heck out of both of us. So we towed the line, you know.
She was strict, huh?
Yeah. We didn't know how to, you know, most of the time, if you're around the parents of your children, you kind of get a viewpoint of how to act. With Marion, we never knew what was right and wrong. Mm-hmm. We just had to toe the mark.
She didn't bake cookies for you? And...
Yeah, she did. She was good to us.
Yeah.
But she didn't really like kids.
No. So again, here's some old photos of downtown Skagway, A.B. Hall, and you can sort of see in the side right here the transport building.
Right. See, there's one of our trucks. It looks like sitting in front of it.
Oh. Yeah, it looks
flatbed.
Like flatbed, yeah, cool. So that's a more recent picture than these top two are like old postcards because it says, one says 2010, but it must be 1910. Anyway, that's right, that's cool with the truck on the bottom. And it does, there's the Richter's jewelry store sign.
Richter's, that's what I kept thinking of, yeah.
To the south of your building.
Right.
So again, some more, well, the top photo's baseball and the bottom one looks like more basketball.
Mm-hmm.
1947. Anything?
No, those are just...
Just life in Skagway.
Yeah, just kids that went to school there.
And then here, again, postcards of the Skagway dock, 1930s. And this bottom one really shows the big dock. Was the dock, is that what the dock was like when you were there?
Yes, it was on against the mountain, against the east mountain.
And the train went all the way out to the dock?
Yes, yeah. Unloaded ore.
Okay, these are more pious mission photos.
Mm-hmm.
Which
the mission in Skagway took in a lot of children that had been misplaced by the war from the Aleutian Islands.
Mm-hmm. They were orphans? Or
some were orphans, yes. I guess most of them were, or their parents couldn't take care of them.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, there wasn't much interaction.
Not a lot. There was, the boys started playing on the basketball team with their high school boys, mm-hmm. and so, but they went to a different school and things. So
that, yeah, they didn't come. They weren't in your classes.
No,
no, okay.
And the girls, there was very little interaction at all.
Right. Okay. More boys and girls basketball teams. Girls 1938. Boys, it looks like 47, 48.
It is what it is.
It is from Carl Nord's identifications, yeah. And then. I don't know this.
That's my Uncle Ken there.
Ken Johnston.
He's
standing behind the truck.
Okay. That's his truck.
So Ken is behind the truck. Now, was that him working for your parents? And
he worked for them some, but not as much as Hal, but he did
not
work some.
That's not what he's doing in that picture. And then a very handsome Jim Alexander next to a truck in the 1960s.
Yeah, that's Jim.
Yeah. And then Alice Story, 1930s.
That's Ludi's mother.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, Dennis Story's mother. I'm sorry. That's not Ludi's mother. That's Dennis's mother.
And Dennis is one of the kids you played with?
Yeah, he was. He played with us a lot. He was I think he was Ludi's cousin.
Oh, okay. What did his dad do? Do you remember?
Dean Story was a good friend of my dad's. I'm not sure. Construction, I think.
And then Ludi's father, did he work for the railroad?
That would be Dean Ludi. I don't know. I don't know what his dad did. I don't remember.
Yeah. I know Carl Nord probably told me because they were really good friends.
Yeah.
I was just looking at this picture of Jim on... looks like on Broadway. Looks like it's in front, it's something igloo, but I don't know if you recognize.
That's the igloo bar.
Okay.
That you're talking about.
Right.
And then this over here, this building.
Behind him, yeah.
looks like it was boarded up then, but a man came into town by the name of Stein, and he opened it as like a dollar store or something like that.
Okay.
I don't remember his first name, but they call it Stein's.
Okay.
And then down the same block was the pack train.
Okay. Oh, here's your Skagway Public School.
Right, that's the one I went to.
Right, that's a bigger...
That's a better picture.
Yeah. More... postcard pictures of on Broadway with the train before your time. And here's White Pass Hospital and the Presbyterian Church.
Right.
46, 47.
That was the hospital I was born in.
Mm-hmm.
Since 1947. Oh, the picture was taken in 47,
Yeah. And the church picture was taken in 46. So this is what you remember.
Yes.
Did you have any other time in the hospital? Well, your TB, you probably were.
I did. I was in the hospital for about a week before I was transferred to this hospital in Seattle.
Yeah. Do you remember any of the you said Dr. Dahl, was the doctor? And then were there nurses?
I'm sorry?
Nurses or other people?
I don't remember any of the nurses, no.
Was Dr. Dahl, what was he like?
He was a family doctor forever and ever, you know? Mm-hmm. He'd been there for a long time. He's just everybody knew Dr. Dahl. He just was like one of the family, you know.
Yeah. And there was I think in the Emlyn Cub, there was a Mrs. Dahl?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
My family was never involved with the Emblem Club, so I don't know.
You only remember Dr. Dahl, not Mrs. Dahl.
I remember her, Vera Dahl was her name, mm-hmm. but I don't remember. I had contact with him because of illness and stuff.
Right.
Well, I never really had contact with her.
Okay.
She didn't babysit for me or anything, and I was just a kid. You know, she wasn't right. interested in talking to me.
So here's this picture of your sister running the 4th of July race.
Right.
Which is a great picture. And, this is your poem about skating. Do you want to read it?
Skating time. When in Skagway the ground is blanketed with snow and the north wind has decided not to blow, then skating the boys and girls will go. When we go happy and jolly and gay through and through their little town all day. When we fall flat in the snow, we jump up and off we go. Then every one of us say, we had so much fun in Skagway.
That's great.
That's funny.
Any idea how... And there's lovely little drawings of two people skating. Any idea how...
I'm amazed at what a good drawer I was at seven. Must have been about seven.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that picture I showed you that Carl Nord had that you guys sent him. Somebody was a very good drawer.
That was me.
Yeah. So here's this... wonderful photo of you guys, you kids. So I'm assuming the labeling is right. Carl
right.
Nord.
Ludi.
Maybe you got Ludi from Louis Dean. Lou D. That might make sense.
Maybe his middle name was Dean. You're right.
Yeah, because it says here Louis Dean Selmer. So Lou D, because maybe there was a Louis somebody else Selmer.
Maybe Louis Dean, yeah.
And then you and your sister, Denny's story, and then Merle Nelson in front. Do you know where that picture was taken?
Let me see.
If you can tell what you're standing in front of.
I know, but that's a gun I have in my hand.
What? You have a gun in your hand?
Oh, it's probably a play gun. Does that look like a gun?
You're the one in the middle?
I'm the one on the outside.
Oh. No, I don't see that you have anything in your hand.
Can't you see it? Let's see.
Maybe I'm not.
See this here?
Oh, I see. I thought that was your arm. No, I think that's your arm. I think this white thing is like a...
That's my arm.
No, down here's your arm. I think your arm goes here.
Oh.
And this is like a...
That's a handkerchief or something that Carl has a hold of.
Or it's on the doorknob.
Okay, well, good. I'm not as bad as I thought I was.
Phew. That's a wonderful picture. Merle does not look happy.
No.
No. But that's an interesting building you guys are in front of. I'm wondering...
For some reason, I want to say that was in Carl's yard.
Yeah, I'm wondering...
It's like a lawn where he keep lawnmower and lawn equipment.
I'm wondering... Well, it might be too small, but Carl mentioned that his father got one of the old Quonset huts.
That's probably it.
And used it, part of it, like as a greenhouse, and I'm wondering if that's what it is. But it
probably
seems too short.
It is a little small, isn't it?
Yeah, so, but...
He might have altered it, though.
Yeah, but it does look like a garden shed mm-hmm. kind of thing. Okay, well, that's all the photo things to talk about.
Okay.
Looking through those photos, and we had talked a little bit before about the discrimination question and how we know that you did not discriminate, but if you ever heard other people say things.
Well, you know, and thinking back, since we discussed it once before, I did run into discrimination every once in a while. The reason that I just kind of sloughed it off is because if I don't recognize it, it doesn't exist in my mind. But if I get realistic about it, I had an instance one time where there was a Native girl in our school that was in my class, and a very nice girl. And I used to meet her at the corner leaving my grandparents' house to go to school and walk to school with her. Well, one day this older lady pulled me aside and told me that I shouldn't associate with her because she was Native. And I remember being totally horrified, and I think at my young age I told her off.
The woman said you shouldn't associate because it would affect
her. Associate with her because she was a Native girl.
And it would affect your reputation.
And it would affect my reputation, yes. But anyway, I think in so many words, I told her that I didn't see anything but a friend, a nice girl. And I was not about to give up a friend just because of somebody else's prejudices. I don't think I said it in that mature way, but basically that's what I told her. I was horrified that she'd even asked me to do such a thing, and I felt terrible, which made me even more determined to meet the girl and walk to school with her regardless. So.
Yeah, well, you probably said, well, she's my friend, and I'm going to hang out with her.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't even understand what it was when it was brought up to me, because in my family, discrimination didn't happen. You know, if you even started to discriminate against somebody thinking that they were lesser than you were, we would get punished for it. And my grandfather's, one of his favorite sayings was, everybody is the same. They put their pants on one leg at a time. And they not only did this to bolster me up for my self-confidence, but it also made me understand that people around me are just as important as I am. Mm-hmm. So when I ran into a form of discrimination, I was very surprised by it, and I did rebuke it as best I could.
Now, do you remember about how old you would have been when that incident happened?
I had to be, and everything in my life is pro-sickness and after sickness.
Right.
And I think it was after I got back.
So you were an early teenager.
So I would have been, probably 11, 12, mm-hmm. something like that.
Okay. And then, do you feel that older woman who said that, do you think she learned something?
Well, I found out later in life, as a matter of fact, I talked to somebody, from a friend of mine from Skagway, and I recanted this story to them, and they said that was interesting because later on in life, this girl got married, and this woman that had told me I should discriminate against her threw her a shower. So I think I don't know what happened.
No.
I don't know what happened in the years between, but something apparently opened her eyes that she was incorrect, and I feel good that she was kind to this girl because she was a nice girl.
Yeah. So I'm going to thank you for sharing that story. I think it's very important, I think, for people to know that,
well,
you know, the past is not always perfect and things change. And it's good to hear that those kinds of things.
Well, you're welcome. I like I say, I wasn't brought up to discriminate, so I don't even see it.
Right.
But when I stop and really pay attention, I do see that it has happened. And if I were, I would certainly never contribute to it and do anything I could to stop it.
Right. And now you graduated from high school in Skagway?
No.
No.
I left Skagway after my junior year and went to Anchorage, came to Anchorage. And then I spent the summer in Anchorage and went to California with my mother and her, she remarried.
Okay.
And I graduated from Pomona High School.
Oh. And then what did you do after high school?
Went back to Anchorage.
Oh.
That's where all our family was, except for my sister.
Uh-huh.
My dad were the only ones left in Skagway. So I figured I had a future in Anchorage, and I was promised a job. So I went to work for the bank in Anchorage, Bank of America, Bank of Alaska, National Bank of Alaska.
Yeah. And so was banking then, did that become your career?
No. I worked there just long enough to get enough money to go back to California, and I did. I went back to California and went to work for a bank down there. Then I got a better job offer from a finance company, so I went to work for a finance company. And then I ended up coming back to Anchorage and pretty well stayed there forever.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take long to be out of Alaska to realize you want to go back. So,
mm-hmm. And so did you get a college degree?
No, I have no college degree. I've taken classes, community college classes, mm-hmm. but never in psychology. I also have a certificate in labor relations.
Okay. And then when did you meet your husband, your current husband?
We met in Anchorage at the picnic on the 4th of July. And my sister and I, with her kids and my kids, Jim was working out of town. We went to this picnic in our neighborhood, and Herb was there. And Herb started playing with the kids, you know, doing things with the kids, which was right up my alley, so I started too. And we, you know, took the kids around the neighborhood, and Herb bought them fireworks, and, you know, Karen and Kevin were 3 years old at the time. So he kind of, was nice, kind to him. So we became friends. And from friendship, he had two boys from a previous marriage that he tried to get custody of down in, it's a long story, yeah. Anyway, we ended up with a family of four, a family of six, four children and two of us.
Right.
We had one boy, six, three others, five.
Wow.
So that's what we had every summer from then on.
So what year did you get married?
Got married in 1967.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if you want to say anything about your first marriage and having the children or not.
That's they were born, they were born in Dillingham, Alaska.
Okay.
They're Alaskan kids.
So you went from Anchorage to Dillingham at some point?
Yes, I was in Dillingham.
Did you work in the fisheries cannery?
No, they were redoing, refurbishing a barge over there.
Oh.
My ex-husband was in charge of the operation.
Okay.
So.
Okay. And so when did you move down here to Arizona?
In 2000, year 2000 or 2001.
Okay.
Actually, my husband retired. And medical is the only thing that keeps me here all the time is medical.
Right.
Otherwise, I would be in Anchorage. And I'll always be an Alaskan. I don't know how to be anything but Alaskan.
Well, you were born there, which...
Alaska's not just a thing, a piece of... something written on a piece of paper. To me, you are either an Alaskan or not. Somebody can live in Alaska for 10 years and be an Alaskan. Or somebody can live there for their whole lives and not be an Alaskan. it's in your blood. I mean, yeah. It's just part of you.
Yeah. And now... when did your father pass away in Skagway, or did he move?
He's buried in Sitka.
Okay.
He went fishing, commercial fishing, in one of his boats, and moved to... Tenneke Hot Springs.
Oh, yeah.
And he passed away in Tenneke Hot Springs. And we went down, and he was buried in Sitka.
And about what year did he leave Skagway?
57. It's got to be in the late 60s.
Okay. And so now none of your family is currently in Skagway?
No.
But in Anchorage?
No.
Okay.
All of my family, except... like I say, one of my aunts moved to Texas, and she had three children that live in Texas.
Right.
All the rest of them, all my cousins and everything, live in Anchorage.
Well, I really appreciate your time today. This has been fun to hear your childhood memories and what it was like growing up there.
Well, it's been kind of interesting because your questions, of course, have made me think back and... So it's kind of brought up things with me, too. And the more I think about them, you know, the more I expand on them.
Yeah. Are there other things that I haven't asked about?
I don't think so. I think it's been fairly thorough.
Enough of your memories have come out?
Yes. I'm proud of my Alaskan family. Like I say, we're probably the oldest Caucasian family in the state. I still have lots of cousins and... nieces and nephews and things that live in Anchorage, and so I'm proud they're holding down the fort. My daughter is still in Anchorage,
right,
and she's quite happily married there.
Yeah.
So I guess that'd be about it.
That would be about it, unless you have
but
anything
I'll
else
always
to...
I'll always love Skagway.
Yeah.
I just physically I'm just not able to spend any time
right.
there now.
Right.
So.
Well, I do. Unless there's anything else, I'll turn off the recorder.
Nope, you may do that.
Thank you.
You.